This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man.
You would tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window. What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that I went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
So we stopped, and we're going to do a show. It's called PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Paul, Andy, Tom, Harry, Dick, and Jane are here. Gary's in the booth. And we're going to talk Patriots until 2 o'clock, like we always do Tuesday through Friday. And
we always do.
Today is Friday, and it's cold here still in Gillette. It's going to warm up over the weekend.
60 degrees by Tuesday.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. Melt some of this crap that's all over the street. 60-point
swing on the thermometer.
That's unbelievable.
Jackpot.
Well, the Patriots are have the weekend off, so they'll be, I guess, watching the other teams play and waiting to see who their opponent will be next week. And we did our picks yesterday, and I think the consensus is it's 2-2, though. Two people thought Pittsburgh would win. Two people thought Jacksonville would win.
We should do it like a caucus and have to sway each other until we're all on one side.
Everybody thinks the Chargers are going to beat the Titans.
Give me lunch, and I'll vote for whoever you want me to.
Hey, Andy left. Can you update him what happened to Eric?
Why, yes, what happened
Eric
to Eric?
Choked. Amazingly, I won the thing, which I didn't even think I was in contention.
I'm just glad Eric did.
And as Paul said, Eric led from week 1 to 15.
Biggest choke of all time.
It's up there.
That's like if the Patriots lose
this
weekend.
He finished in third, didn't he, Paul?
Yeah, I believe that's third.
Oh, I didn't catch him.
You didn't catch anybody anywhere.
Yeah, he finished in third.
Damn it.
Tom won at 170-86. I went 169-87, and Eric was 168-88.
Can't believe I'm losing to that guy.
Fred was 167-89.
We were all close.
I thought you.
You were a bit bad. You were a bit off the pace.
What was it?
164-92.
Oh, it's not that bad. 3 games back over a 16-game, 17-week schedule.
And you finished last against the spread too.
What did I do in that?
118-128-10.
And who? What was the winner?
128-118-10.
The exact opposite.
10 games back.
That was me.
Tough year.
But it's not over yet, right? We're still doing it?
Whatever.
Oh, we reseed now. It's postseason. So we're all 0-0.
Yeah.
It's a new season. Once you're in, anybody's got a chance.
And we should probably
well,
mention...
Tom and Fred
we're
a
still
little,
continuing.
They got a little thing going.
So. Oh, you didn't stop the regular season?
Evidently
no, we're
not.
Continuing into the...
Who was winning?
Fred's up by 5 games, so it's going to be tough for me to
I thought it was
him.
Four.
Four or five, whatever. I can't catch him.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for you to catch him in the postseason.
Although we do have like 6 games different this week for something.
We managed to have 6 games out of 4 different, so that's be amazing.
We should probably mention that Bill Belichick won AP Coach of the Year.
We should probably acknowledge that like he did. He talked about it, Fred.
Well, I think, you know, it's a good honor.
It's
I think
a great
especially
honor.
This year, you know, writers chose to overlook the whole Spygate thing, and even though there was that kind of is it a rule or is it just an unwritten rule that if you have, you know, like Sean Merriman last year with the steroids, if you
well,
get
that's now a written rule.
That's a rule, but that's an NFL rule.
But it doesn't apply to coaches.
No, it's an NFL rule. This has nothing to do with the NFL. This was
that's
the Associated
the Pro Bowl
Press.
And their stuff for the league.
This is the AP Coach of the Year. It has nothing at all to do with the NFL.
The thing I don't get is that Karen did the thing in the Boston Herald where she polled all the voters. And a couple people said that they didn't vote for Bill and that Spygate, that influence their decision. Okay, if that's what you want to do, fine. If you really think that they're cheating and you don't want to vote for them, okay. But then there's other people like, what's her name,
Sharon Williams.
Sharon Williams in down in Texas.
Oh.
Now, she didn't vote for Bill, and she said it had nothing to do with Spygate. She said she thought Jack Del Rio did a better coaching job than Bill because he won his games with no Pro Bowlers and all pros. Now, that's why women shouldn't be doing this.
Well, if that's the case, Belichick should have won every year except this year.
It's stupid. You know, that's ridiculous.
I love how he makes the jump from a moronic opinion to that's why women shouldn't be doing this.
Men can't be morons. Go to the media room every day for every press conference.
You never listen to this show then.
Is she going to vote for Derek Anderson for MVP because he did more with, you know, Brady? Right. We knew he was going to do it. I just think that's stupid reasoning.
It is stupid reasoning. I totally agree with that.
The guy went 16-0. What does he have to, you know?
Well, it's the whole Joe Torre thing. You know, why Joe Torre?
But, you know, the year that Joe Torre won 119 games or whatever, he was coach of the year because sometimes you're just so outstanding that you supersede all those
other coaching involved with bringing together an entire new cast of
characters. Sometimes it's harder. Ask Marty Schottenheimer.
Ask Laura Turner. Randy Moss, a guy who no one else could coach, but he comes here and he suddenly is the perfect soldier and falls into line.
Right, it's got something to do with the environment that the coach has set up.
Coaching there.
Yeah, there's this.
North Turner would be the perfect example of that. Schottenheimer actually... You know,
yeah, he won games.
Yeah, and the guy.
But would have won. He've won Coach of the Year too.
Yeah. The guy I always point to is Jerry Burns in Minnesota when they got Herschel Walker. That team was loaded. Everybody thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. They won 9 games. You know, so not everybody can take a talented team and win with it.
I think the best part of the whole story is the Boston Herald and Karen Garigian made the Associated Press announce their award a week early.
Any word on that? Like they admitting that they had to do it early and why and all that stuff.
I asked Karen today. I said, "Did anybody specifically say that was why?" And she said that, you know, I said, "Was that why?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "But no, like officially, is that why that they did it?" And she says, "Yeah, no, I think it is." And I don't know if she got any word from the Associated Press that, you know, if anybody was upset with her or whatever.
So now the AP is mad at the Herald too, like Bill.
Yeah, but if you're the AP, would you have felt forced to now?
No, not at all. I don't, the decision doesn't make any sense to me by the AP.
But they clearly did because it was scheduled that it was going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. That was not announced, and they announced Coach of the Year.
Right. No, they definitely broke their schedule, but I don't understand why.
Does that mean we're a day behind everything? Because that's not good news for me.
Well, I don't know where we are now. They could announce defense tomorrow or maybe next Saturday defense is on its own. And
maybe
they'll
just take their ball and go home and not announce anymore.
Who is the AP a privately owned institution?
Yes, it is.
It is?
You have to, you know, it's a company and you have to subscribe to it as a news gathering agency to get
No, I knew that, but I didn't know if it was like...
It's not owned by the government or anything like that. No.
I didn't really know
how
it worked.
How do you get to vote in something like this? Like, how do they pick who votes for, like, MVP and stuff like that?
I don't know. You know? I'm sure you have to be on a daily. You have to work for a daily and cover the team on a daily basis. So,
well, there are national writers too, though. So I don't know how it works.
Chris Berman is one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah. Peter King votes. He's not. He doesn't work for a daily.
So apparently, the AP just puts together its panel.
Oh yeah,
maybe.
Like it's not a rule or a like the baseball ones. It's like two per city, and it's the. The chapter of the Writers Association.
It's the Baseball Writers Association of America, and they rotate them, you know, because you vote for different awards.
This one doesn't seem to have any set rules like that.
No, I don't know what the criteria is, but it's whatever the AP decides.
Plus,
it's their own
guy probably has to die to come off the 50-man panel.
Well, that's what I would wonder. That's why I think Tom's question is a good one. Like, how do you qualify for it?
Well,
how do you get
whoever's next
it?
In line, I saw John McClain at the combine. Don't worry, you don't have a long wait.
Oh, God.
All right, well, we have a lot of other news to talk about with the Patriots, but on the phone right now is Salt in sunny Orlando. Salt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you doing? Yes, holding up.
We're doing good.
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing good, like I said earlier. I got a question for Tom. I'm looking at the draft pick, number 7 overall. Say Laurinaitis gets picked 6th or 5th or whatever. You think the Patriots take Kayson?
I don't know. Depends what happens with Samuel, and it's kind of early to kind of project. When you don't know who's going to be in the draft yet, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know who's going to be eligible for the draft. I mean, Laurinaitis said he's going back to school, so you don't really know yet who's coming out.
Shut up. Just for the sake of argument, answer my question.
Whoa! Whoa!
Wow. No, they won't take him. Wow.
Salt just got blown
whoa,
up.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't call this show and tell him to shut up.
I think that was the first
you
legitimate
blow-up. You call this
show
and he tells you to shut up.
That was the first legitimate blow-up in the history of the show.
I mean, I don't know who's in the draft.
But I don't understand. The biggest thing
is your other point, Samuel.
I don't understand, it's January 4th, the week before the Patriots' first playoff game, and we're getting on the phone at noontime to call up about next year's draft.
For the sake of argument, I don't know. For the sake of argument. That was good.
All right. Well,
he was coming at you big time.
Yeah. He said something to you, too.
I asked him how he was doing. I didn't mean to offend
you,
Salt.
Maybe fine, like maybe, I just said.
Maybe Pepper broke up with him. I don't know.
He came on the radio yelling and screaming. I didn't hear a thing he said. I asked him how he was doing. He yelled at me.
Woke up on the wrong side of the bed, Salt.
He might lose his theme song privileges, I think.
Wow.
All right. Well,
Fred threw the whole call out of whack because he didn't yell, "Where's Peppa?"
Yeah, but Gary was building to it in the background.
Well,
everybody just stops.
Well, you know. It's
well, I looked at Gary and he's making this face of what the heck is on that
TV. I saw that, but I Fred was actually talking at the time.
I
he
turned
just
and it's my well, Mayra Veronica, más sexy que nunca.
Josh McDaniels issued a statement yesterday saying that
I can read it if you'd like.
He's happy with the attention, but he will not be interviewing this year.
Can I read the statement?
Do you want to read the statement?
Why don't you read the statement?
He didn't say happy.
This is from Jack McDaniels.
Not the word he'd use. I'm very grateful for the chance to interview for NFL head coaching positions, but
I'm just happy to be here.
But I have decided not to pursue those opportunities at this time. I plan to focus all my attention on our postseason preparation.
So there you go. Josh McDaniels going to eschew this year's advances.
Yeah, and we were a little
stay put.
We were a little surprised that he wouldn't go for the interviewing process because they made the Rooney rule so minorities could at least go and interview. Andy made the point on here earlier in the week or last week that one of the things he liked about him was that he got his coaches experience interviewing and kind of helped them out in that. So it does help. And just to get that experience for a young guy.
And it also, you know, we criticize owners for recycling. Well, if the young guys won't come interview with me, then, you know what I mean? It's a two-way street. If you want to get new blood and get all these new faces in there, the new blood has to interview and try to take the job.
And like Andy, but you said, maybe that means he's going to be the next guy here.
Could be the head coach in waiting here.
Do you think there's a possibility of that, Fred? We've been kind of throwing that around.
You might have to wait a while, but it could happen. I'm not, you know, I don't think Belichick's going anywhere for a while.
Well, to be the head coach in waiting, he'd have to have some knowledge of when that is.
Not just keep
working hard and maybe someday you'll have a chance.
No, we're asking
Bill saying this year, next year, you know, something.
I don't think Bill would tell anyone what his plans are for the future, including especially someone that works for him.
Why would he turn him down?
Why would Josh turn
these opportunities down?
Well, who did it? The same thing when the Raiders asked, what's his
Mangini.
Name? Mangini. He
that
turned
was a
them
defensive coordinator.
He still turned him down.
That was a defensive coordinator. It's apples and oranges.
It is sort of apples and oranges.
He had an opportunity to move up, and he turned it down for a year, and then he waited a year. Maybe he just doesn't think he's ready. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, we're just saying about getting the experience, though.
Just
if
interview.
You get an interview. Just
see what an interview is like.
Yeah, I think that he doesn't want to take the time right now, and you know, he doesn't feel he's going to get hired. It's not something he wants to do right now. They've got a game in a week, and he wants to stay here. And
that's
and
sort
focus.
Of the theory we pose that maybe
except
he really
for the part
is a Belichick
about not thinking
disciple.
He's
going to
get hired, because
right.
by all accounts, he's one of the hottest candidates that's out there. And
he may
these
just
guys
be
don't
baby
make
Bill.
That stuff up.
Maybe he's Baby Bill and has the blinders on, and it would just get in his way.
That's what I think. He just wants to make sure he does whatever he can.
Yeah,
to
the
prepare.
Not getting a job, I think, is dumb because just do it.
I
you
think
might
he is
go, and at
a
least
job.
You. You interview with Brad Blank. No, whatever, Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank.
And then the next time you interview, you go, wow, this guy is so much more put together than Arthur Blank. It's a better situation. I can tell just from comparisons that this is better. You know, at least you have something to go by.
Right.
I mean, is he going to walk into his first interview blind?
Yeah. When we say that he's the coach in waiting for it, we're not saying that, someday if Belichick retires, maybe if McDaniels is still here, he's the best candidate on the staff. We're saying that. There's been talk or maybe some sort of discussion that if and when Bill decides, then, you know, if you stay here, play your cards right.
I highly doubt that.
I doubt it as well.
So
Because my
February 7th, Josh McDaniels is going to be announced as a new head coach of the New England Patriots.
My point was that I was right
at 16-0. Why not keep rolling him out there?
And I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't think the Crafts would just simply sit there and say, okay, he's the guy.
Right.
I mean, how well do they really even know Josh McDaniels?
That's right. And, you know, Belichick couldn't tell him that because he'd be on his way out. He's not going to be the guy that hires the next coach.
But the thing I said is, first of all, they're aware of Josh McDaniels, whatever their relationship is. They're aware that Bill thinks highly of him to promote him so quickly, and he clearly gets along with Brady. And I think that would be a positive in his favor, is the relationship he has with the franchise here and sort of keep the whole system moving forward.
True. But again, you know, by the time Belichick leaves, so could Brady.
I mean, what if by the time is this year or next?
I don't think it is.
But what if it is? This whole theory of him being a coach in waiting
it's a hypothetical.
Means it has to be soon.
We're not basing this on facts. We're basing it on hypothetical.
If he was, I would imagine McDaniels would be a candidate, but I can almost guarantee you that he hasn't been told that.
I agree with that.
That's how I feel about it.
We're just floating things out there, but not for 2017.
That's why I was surprised that, as Tom pointed out at the very top here, that he didn't take the interview. I can't imagine that he was told any of this.
If he wants to go the college ranks, there'll be a position open at West Virginia in 2 years.
That's true.
Anybody hear what Jerry Rice said about respect?
He was upset a little bit with Randy Moss, I guess.
Didn't want to go on his radio show.
He made that comment that we talked about yesterday where he kind of...
Doesn't care about Jerry Rice, and
then he refused to come on his show, and Rice was saying, you know, I've been in position to create some of my own records, and when I did that, I was very mindful of the fact that there was people that played the game well before me, and he was kind of upset. If I even had a sliver of affection at all for Jerry Rice, I could understand his point, but right. he's an egomaniac who is – the only reason why he hasn't been bad for the teams that he's been on is because he's so damn good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's caused problems everywhere he's been, but he was just so good for so long that it didn't matter.
You know what really rubbed me the wrong way about him? This is just a little thing. When somebody breaks a big record, they usually go and celebrate with their teammates. When he broke the touchdown record in Oakland, he got up, he put his arms in the air to the crowd, and like his teammates were running up trying to congratulate him, and he just had his back turned to him, and he was like going, you know, just pointing to the crowd and stuff. And I was thinking, what an egomaniac. I mean, these guys are trying to congratulate you on a great record. I've never liked him. He complained that he didn't get the MVP that 1 year in the Super Bowl when Joe Montana got it. You know, because quarterbacks, he said it was racist. Yeah, quarterbacks never get MVP of the Super Bowl. I just don't like the guy.
Plus, Rice had already laid the groundwork by sort of bringing up, well, I did it in 12 games. Would you, if you're Randy Moss, would you go on?
That might have had something to do with Randy Moss's comment.
That could get in an ugly situation. That could
don't discount that as being a part of why Randy said what he said the other night.
So
I still wish Randy didn't say that, but that may have had something to do with why he did.
Call him Randy now.
Randy Moss.
What are we in the press box?
So Rice points out that he did his record in 12 games,
which is amazing,
as opposed to 16. He feels that he should do that in the wake of this guy breaking the record, but anything else anyone else says
is
not good.
I just wish we could stop all that. Listen, records are records. Seasons are a season. Whatever the record is, if you played 14 games, too bad. We play 16 now. Talk to the NFL.
One thing is for sure. These guys at the highest level of their profession have real thin skins.
Yes. Big egos and thin skins.
All of them.
But even, you know, well after it was kind of on the downswing for Jerry Rice, you know,
even at the
end in San Francisco, he was still in San Francisco, and he was, barking at the role. Remember when T.O. came in, and he kind of supplanted him as the number one guy? And then he goes to Oakland. He still had some productive years in Oakland
with Gannon, caught
a lot of passes, but he was always complaining because Tim Brown was on the other side, and he was getting a lot of the attention, too. And I just think he's been a very disruptive guy. He's just been so good. He's the best wide receiver we've ever played.
Yeah,
I mean,
no question.
I'm not trying to say that the guy isn't as good as he's not overrated by any stretch. He's the best who ever played, but I don't think he was the best person.
I always said he's the best role model T.O. ever had. That's why T.O. acts like a jerk, because he learned it from Jerry Rice.
That's a good point.
Where's his radio show?
Sirius. Oh. Well, satellite.
Boy, call them. They'll give anybody a show. Jesus.
What do you think those jobs pay, Fred? Can you hook that up for us?
I'd like to.
Jonathan, have any connections?
I mean, did anyone hear what Rondé Barber said on The Barbershop? That show sounds...
The Barbershop.
I've listened to The Barbershop.
That show sounds so boring.
It's like two guys who think they're doing late night FM.
That's what it sounds like.
They try to talk real
fast. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Is it both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
They probably also think that they're... too cerebral to actually just do a football show.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Right? It's unbelievable. Awful.
It's like listening to a room full of Eric Scalavino.
Oh, it's incredible.
Who voted for himself for the Senate?
The ego just...
You should probably get into that story.
The ego just oozes out of the radio when you listen to that show.
Why can't we get on Sirius, this show right here?
And you know, they're like both sitting in smoking jackets while they're doing the show.
That's what I meant by getting Jonathan to get that done, was to have our show.
Get us on Sirius. We would kick ass.
Well,
and then you could say stuff like that all the time, too, and not really have to worry about
hopefully, you know, Sirius will have a station for every team, and every team will have their own shows.
But we're good enough to be just on any channel that they have right now.
Yeah, but you can't put something on a national satellite that's only about one team.
But we're pretty much about
first
more
of all,
than
we are
Patriots.
Pretty much the league, are we not? We're 16-0.
Right, 16-0, damn
that's
it.
True.
What happened to raping and pillaging
really
and we're
the
taking
Patriots,
the league?
Then the NFL.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Ask ESPN. It says NFL, then Patriots.
That's true.
Fred, we should tell you that Eric told us we were talking about politics in the locker room, and there was one year where Eric didn't like either candidate for the Senate in Rhode Island. So instead of doing what most people do and writing in like Pee Wee Herman or Mickey Mouse, he wrote in his
himself.
Own name and then told two friends to do the same thing. So Eric got 3 votes for the Senate.
Wow.
What an ego.
I thought I saw that on CNN.
I saw that.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with Dave.
Speaking of Josh McDaniels, Steve from Winchester writes in that basically he has a long thing, but his bottom line is that why is everyone interested? He has a long thing, but why is everyone – Paul didn't get it right away.
I didn't. Not until Andy started cackling like a schoolgirl.
You know, if you say anything that might be remotely
that's
sexual,
why,
that's
why
start laughing.
That's why I got it after. Right.
It's like that thing Gary
reaction.
Plays. I'm like Homer. I can't say titmouse without giggling.
Didn't Gary used to report
he's got the head
things?
The size of a hot air balloon and the brain the size of a pea. But anyway, Steve from Winchester, his bottom line is why would anyone be interested in all these post-Belichick – coaches because their record is 64-112 since leaving the Patriots.
Huh? I assume we're throwing Weiss in there.
Well yes.
It sounds
he's
like we're throwing like
he's throwing in
Rob
Weiss.
Ryan and
he's throwing in Mangini, Crennel, Weiss.
Well, what's Crennel's record?
Crennel is 20-28.
Coming off a 10-6 year,
yeah.
The most recent though, he's on the upswing.
His first 3 seasons, he said, 20-28.
Well, I think given what he took over, that's not that bad.
Okay, you can defend him. I mean, you know, that's just what
do
he's
you guys,
saying.
I mean, do you think he's done a terrible job?
No. He's including Nick Saban, too. As
okay.
He's including his friends?
How about, should we throw Pat Hill in there, too? He's doing pretty good at Fresno State.
He goes to a bowl every year.
So anyway.
How about Kirk Ferentz?
That's what he's saying.
I think, like Bill would probably tell you, it's an individual thing. I know Paul and I disagree, but I was never a big Ray Perkins fan, and Parcells came from him. Belichick came from you don't know. I mean, I think these coaching
just let me
are
state
overrated.
For the record, I wasn't in love with Ray Perkins or anything. I just think he was a little bit better than you thought he was. That's all.
So the point of that was no one should want a Belichick assistant.
Why are they so hot?
Well, Josh McDaniels is hot because the team's 16-0 and the offense broke every single record on the face of the earth.
I mean, Mangini made the playoffs his first year, so he had a bad year his second year.
And he had
Crennel almost
though.
Made the playoffs.
Mangini had the connection in New
right.
York.
But I'm just saying, even on the Cam Cameron went 1-15. Maybe nobody should hire Marty Schottenheimer assistants, whoever. No one fell on their face like Cam Cameron did.
I mean, obviously, you're not getting Belichick, so you're not getting the best possible replacement to fix your team, but you're also not getting Tom Brady.
Right.
So anybody that leaves, you know, Josh McDaniels, let's face it, he's not going to have Brady wherever he goes. That's going to hurt him.
But beyond all that, I'm sure I can find Bill Walsh assistants that failed, right?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't all succeed.
All right, on the phone right now is Mike, and he wants to talk about the Patriots' run defense. Mike, how you doing?
Well, first I want to answer the whole McDaniels question since you guys brought it up in between. I think it's really a personal thing. I think, you know, he's got a young family and he's happy with where he is right now and he just wants to be able to essentially not die being a head coach and, you know, be separated from his family. As much as other head coaches have
well,
been.
That's as good an answer as any. I don't know.
He works pretty long hours as an assistant coach here. And
I
don't
I
think they would change
that.
Any.
He's certainly not going to work any more hours as a head coach than he would as an assistant. But I do think there might be something to the fact that he's got a young family and he's here and he you know kind of wants to settle in maybe for another year or two before he starts that traveling all over the country in search of the next job. I don't know.
I'm not
it might have something to
wouldn't
do with
it. Wouldn't it be better with a young family than when they're in school?
I don't know. I think it's an individual choice, as Bill would say.
Who knows?
As Tom just reiterated.
I don't know. You don't know these guys' situations.
Yeah, I also think $3 million changes where you want to live and what
kind of makes it easier for your young family. Yeah.
And plus, if he's going to fall on his face, fall on your face at 31, so you're back in the hot circle by 37.
The Patriots offered him more money. You know, who knows what happened?
Do we know that?
I don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know?
But what about the running game, Mike?
Well, I found it interesting yesterday that they practiced without the two starting corners, and I don't think that's because of injury, which is kind of surprising given this team's track record with injury in the secondary. And I think that really has to do with we're facing San Diego, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Tennessee, potentially, well, not San Diego, but potentially in the next week. And all those are strong running teams, and I think the key is going to be our run defense next week. And, you know, they've been sort of off and on in terms of, you know, playing well or not playing so well, especially against Miami. It seems they got killed. I don't really attribute that in the Indy game because in the Indy game we were just trying to stop the pass game. Well, what do you guys think?
I really think the key will be the run defense, especially if they're playing Jacksonville. But, you know.
Yeah, it won't be nearly as... It wouldn't be nearly as much against Pittsburgh because they only have Davenport.
I think it's a bigger deal against Jacksonville.
And one of the reasons I think the Steelers are going to beat Jacksonville is because I think now they're going to go to the pass a lot more. You can't expect they're going to go, and not totally like the Patriots, but you can't expect that they're thinking, hey, we're going to win with Najee Davenport carrying the ball 30 times. And I think that might actually help them.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's a great point, and I also think the reason, and Tom and I were the two that picked Pittsburgh, everybody else picked Jacksonville. The other reason I think is, Pittsburgh's defense, while I think is a tad overrated and overranked, I don't think it's bad. I think it's a pretty good defense. They went something like 33 games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, and then Jacksonville just absolutely killed them. They had 260-something yards in that game that they won. I just don't see that happening again.
Now, was that game after the Patriot game?
Yes.
Well, it was the game right after. Okay,
see,
that's what I thought.
I agree with you, Tom. I think they will go to the pass, but I think that Jacksonville will harass Roethlisberger all game.
All right. Well, we'll have to, but I just...
I think that's fine.
My key point of... And I didn't know for sure yesterday. I was pretty sure that they played the Jacksonville after the Patriots, and that's not a good... I just find it hard to believe Jacksonville's going to come in there twice and beat a team that's so good at home, especially when the game was after the New England game. I can see that.
It's they have vastly more talent than Pittsburgh, and you're just going to go in and you're going to beat a team that you're better than
as
twice.
As far as their defense, I think you beat them by throwing down the field, something Jacksonville doesn't necessarily do a lot. I know they have Reggie Williams, Andy. I'm sorry about that. But
that's going to live on.
I can't wait for all these games. I'm excited.
It's going to live on either way. If he lays an egg, it lives on.
I'm not surprised by
touchdowns.
That, Fred. You've been watching the San Francisco-Cincinnati games on NFL Network, so you must be out of your mind for this weekend.
TG and Joyzy says, think about it. McDaniels isn't going to walk into an interview and answer questions. He needs to prepare and probably doesn't have the time to do that right now. What if he went and had a bad interview and then gets out into the football coaching realm? It might hurt him in the future. What do you think? I'm glad he's staying. I think he might be looking at the Mangidiot scenario and realize he's just not ready yet. Didn't BB tell Mangini that he wasn't ready?
Yeah, I mean,
and then he went to the playoffs and beat BB in the regular season.
I have no idea if Belichick. Have you ever heard that he said to Mangini, "You're not ready"? I don't know about that. I think the point about the interview, I think, is a fair point. I think that's a possibility. You know, maybe he just figures there's no way I can possibly be prepared for this, and I don't want to put myself in a bad light.
Speaking of things that Belichick has said or people have said to Belichick. Stripper sends us an email.
Love strippers.
And he's got the video that went along with
too.
It. I saw the video. There's a
video?
Clip on YouTube of Mike and the Mag Dog show, and a caller, a Miami fan, brings up former Dolphins playing great for the Patriots. One of the hosts says, what happened was Saban, and it was Mike that said it, what happened was Saban called Belichick and told him, get my best player. Do you think this is true, or did Bill just use his eyes and see how good Wes was? I watched the clip. And Francesa basically says, this is what happened. Saban called Belichick after the season and said, you got to get Welker. He's my best player. You got to go get him.
Oh, really?
And he said it twice.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was interesting.
But there's no
harm
in that.
I was wondering if anybody thought there was anything wrong with that.
No.
I mean, that's just using your network.
Yeah, but what do you,
how they get half their college
what do you
players?
Guys think about this Colts thing that's coming out, which I think is kind of interesting.
What's the Colts thing?
Well, you know, Tony Dungy.
Well,
Saint would never happen.
What did he do?
Apparently, they kind of wanted Tennessee to get in to make it three teams from their division. So they had, at the end of the game, people, and I was wondering, too, why the Colts weren't calling timeouts, because they had, like, two left, and Tennessee was just running the clock out. And apparently they had an agreement not to call timeouts or something. I don't know the full story, but the word is that the Colts wanted Tennessee to kind of get in the playoffs to make it three from the AFC South.
Sounds very Parcells and Belichickian.
Yeah. I don't like that because I don't like not playing to win the game. And
I don't
much
either.
Like the end of the Miami game in 2005 didn't sit well with me.
I agree.
Now, that was the best thing in the interest of the team. You know, if Dungy could make an argument for me that said that we benefit for Tennessee being in because of this, I don't see that. But if he could, then I'd say I don't necessarily agree with you, but I see your point.
Yeah, but
just like the Patriots said, I'd rather play Jacksonville in the first round than Pittsburgh.
And you got to figure for the Colts, they got to think if Tennessee goes in, it probably doesn't hurt us because what are the chances they're going to go on the road and beat San Diego and New England and then come here for a championship?
Hey,
game?
You never know, though.
They could make an argument that Tennessee is a more physical team, and they'll beat up San Diego more for when they have to come and play us than Cleveland will, which is a finesse team.
Right. Paul, now we saw that game because it was on every TV in Gillette Stadium, the Tennessee-San Diego game. That was probably – we saw that start to
finish.
That
was a battle.
That was one of the most physical games I saw all year. So that's a good point right there. That's interesting.
I hope
I don't like, Fred, and I'm not going to be inconsistent, but I don't like the fact that you openly don't play the game to win. I don't care who plays. How you play your personnel, but the people on the field should be trying to win. You should be calling timeouts.
I hope
you should be trying to win the game.
I hope the Titans beat the Colts in the playoffs.
And Madden said that. He said, but you got to wonder why they're not calling timeouts here because they had a couple left. And he said, I guess they're just calling it a night.
You know, there were a couple of games that were played on that Sunday that were, you know, Seattle, for one, played nobody. But they played Atlanta. I mean, that 44-41 game, they played that game to win.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, Seneca Wallace
the Colts
was playing, you know,
aren't calling timeouts, and their offensive coordinator was Peyton Manning.
Green Bay, I mean, they had nothing to play
take
for.
Take your quarterback to work day. let's see. Gary has that audio of Mike and the Mad Dog. So, Gary, why don't you play that?
Well, misses.
No, 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 I thought it was wind-induced, maybe, you know, with Steve in Medford. Steve, what's going on today, pal?
Hey, good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Steve.
You know, I'm a diehard Dolphins fan. I know nobody really cares about him, but what, it's ridiculous. I have to watch the Patriots. Not only am I terrible, but I've watched the Patriots with all of my players running around looking like.
Well, you know what? Your last reason to hate Saban is this. He basically, when he left, called Belichick and said, listen, you have to at any cost get Welker on your team. He's my best player. That's exactly what he did. And he made sure he went to New England. I mean, he knew, and he's his buddy's Belichick, and he said, you've got to get Welker on your team. He's my best player.
I called you guys up when it happened, and I was just, you know, this is crazy. How are you going to get rid of a guy who is a slot receiver, goes across the middle, is a great punt returner?
Terrific little
And then you go out
and say, he reminds me a lot of Quebec.
Terrific little
player.
Even more athletic.
Yeah, I think so. But he reminds me.
All right, so
he's a terrific little player. I agree with
terrific.
The professionals. Well said.
Yeah.
Little player.
Well, he's small in stature, but he's great in performance. But
Fred,
if anyone's mad at Saban, it should be, you know, Miami fans. If true.
Well, Fred, much better than he gave him credit for. Much better than I gave him credit.
The bottom line is he says that with definitive type.
The first time when he says it, it was kind of like, the bottom line is this. He basically said,
right,
you know, you got to get Welker. He's my best player. Then the second time around, he said, he called up and said, he's my best player. You got to get him. So
that
I don't
was
know.
Not a.
I don't know if that was a paraphrase or.
He has some knowledge of something specific.
Yeah, sounded like
not just an assumption that, well, they're friends.
Well,
he coached him. He probably got a recommendation.
Now, if I'm Wayne Huizenga, I'm really upset about that.
Yeah, but you know
that.
How that came about. Belichick told Parcells. Parcells told Francesa. Do you know those
people? Oh, yeah.
You
Parcells, know, Parcells and Francesa are very
some
tight.
People in Saratoga think they're homosexuals because they see them, that's all they do is go to the track together and they're always by themselves. Yeah.
Francesca literally said he'd
take a bullet
for Parcells.
The guy.
So I bet you that's how it came about.
I can guarantee Parcells wouldn't take a bullet for him.
He'd be throwing him in front of the bullet.
He'd be telling him, get in front of me and take that bullet now.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. No food today?
No food.
What happened?
These guys are dropping the ball. I defended them. I thought this would continue, but apparently it's over.
Okay.
Mike
We've
from
lost
the Bronx.
It. We've lost it, Fred.
Lucky. Where's Lucky?
No, no, I don't want the same people. I do. I get
Tom does.
I don't care if it's new or old, as long as it's food.
I get embarrassed.
I don't.
Phil from Nova Scotia, is it just me or has the press coverage of the NFL been a little weird this year? If I were to sum up the mood of the media this past regular season, I would say that they were as bored as Eric at a strip club and or as irritated and angry as Tom at a Winger concert with a bad case of the squirts and no wet wipes. What do you think?
I missed the first part.
Yeah, we were watching.
The coverage of the NFL has been...
What do you mean by weird?
Kind of off.
Have they been, like, bored?
Oh.
Wow, gorillas. Are they hot?
Yeah, they're not good, though.
Nice.
I guess I always think the coverage of the NFL is boring.
I think this year, even for me, it's been the Patriots and then everybody else.
Yeah, it has
it's
been.
It's like,
well,
that's
the story.
Kind of
that
story of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason I think...
those feel-good stories about the Dolphins are all good and well, but...
Tom made the point that I always think the NFL coverage is kind of boring, and I think that there's some truth to that because they only play once a week, and it's really hard to generate a lot of great content when you don't have the games. And some of the other sports, I think you have more games to go by.
Can I just say something real quick off topic?
Howie eats a half a hot dog in one bite.
You know what I had for breakfast? I had 2 hard-boiled eggs and an English muffin. For dinner, I'm going to have pork chops, a salad, and cottage cheese. Now, he's been yelling at me about my diet. Now, that sounds that's pretty healthy, right? This guy just downed a hot dog and 2 bites, and he's got another one sitting right next to him, and he's yelling at me about my diet.
Yeah, but I'm consistent.
I'm very impressed with the fact that you know what you're having for dinner already.
If you do it up and down like you do, your body's all in
What do you mean up and down? I just started this. I've been on it for a couple of weeks.
I don't think your body's reacting well to it.
Andy, you might have missed this yesterday after you left to get your tooth fixed. Fred has expressed his concerns with Tom's Atkins diet.
It's not,
and
the
he thinks that's having something to do with his trouble lately
Tom
regulating.
Fred's drinking top shelf margaritas and sucking down hot dogs left and right. He'll be dead in a year.
He's getting ready to cut us loose any minute.
All I'm doing
if that's
is eating
the case,
healthier.
So be it,
Fred.
Why you want to die?
I enjoyed life.
You had a nice run.
Did you have a nice little run?
That's it. You live every day.
What happened to the old Fred? Who said I got to drop 30 pounds?
You live every day. I'm doing all right.
That Fred found out how hard it is to drop 30 pounds,
so he figures he'll add 15.
Yeah.
That's easier.
I know how I'll do it. I'll add 15, so then I really only have to lose 15 pounds.
It's like going to buy furniture. It's 50% off. I marked it up 100%, but don't worry about that.
Jamie in Houston's on the phone. Jamie, how you doing?
Happy New Year, fellas. How you been?
Good. Jamie.
Too, Jamie.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to see if there was any news this week. I hadn't heard anything about Vince Wilfork. Any fines ever come up for the poking an eye thing and that kind of went real low-key? And again, what are the comments and what's the buzz about that? Anything come down from the NFL?
That is kind of gone.
I hadn't seen it.
It is kind of been low-key, though.
Today's the day for fines.
But
right?
I'm just talking about in the media. Usually Patriot fans complain that they make too much out of stuff. I thought that was way worse than Vrabel's thing against Cleveland where they said he was diving at the
knee. Tried to blind a guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was worse than the Vrabel thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, Vince isn't making himself much out to be a Patriot poster child these days. He had the, early in the season, Buffalo, where he had the questionable hit on the knee there of the quarterback. And then, I kind of thought it was funny. I thought he was punking the guy out, getting his hand in the mask, but he didn't need to, actually poke him in the eye.
Right,
and
he didn't just poke in his face.
I think it was intentionally tried to, blind him, but I think it was intentionally tried to get inside his mask.
Right, yes,
he did.
There's a difference between pointing in a guy's face to get in his face and trying to stick your finger in his eye, and I thought he tried to stick his finger in his eye.
Well, he did it very slowly, though.
Because he was aiming for his eye, he had to get through the face mask.
It wasn't like he jabbed. He just kind of put it in
He just had this. He stuck it in there, and I mean, I think that's kind of a cultural thing. I'm going to dot your eye. I'm going to get you in your eye, and I think that's kind of what he was after. But I mean, it was wrong. It wasn't a good thing, and I'm surprised that nothing's really come of that.
Hey, Fred,
I told you he had an eyelash.
Fred,
he was just trying to get
last
one.
Week. Last week I killed somebody, but I didn't do it quickly. I tortured the poor bastard nice slowly. So
a slow poke is okay.
It depends on the circumstance.
I took the knife and put it in slow.
Nothing about this black and white.
We like bashing Gumbel and, how terrible he is and, nauseous he is to listen to. But that was, he kind of came out of his conservative but incompetent mold and, threw in some humor there with the Mo Larry Curly and a whoop, 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 whoop. I thought that was pretty good.
Did he? No, I didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't hear it, so.
Yeah, you got to check it. If you've got the NFL Network taped or whatever, he said it was, kind of under the audio, but he But he did clearly say it. He's a, and Vince Wolfork with the Mo Larry Curly. Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's
good.
Good
stuff.
Good stuff.
So we have Fred Kirsch doing play-by-play.
All right,
making
Jamie.
Light of a guy trying to blind another one.
Jamie from Houston chiming in. We haven't heard from him in
no.
a while.
Before, Paul, I gestured to you that ridiculous show that you were once on, Put Up Your Dupes, was on, and on the bottom of the screen it said,
like it's my fault.
Guy's
it
got
said,
a show on NFL Network.
Who will replace Cam Cameron in Miami?
Yeah.
And then it had a picture of Pepper Johnson.
Was it Pepper?
Yes.
Because it went right off. Right when you gestured to me, it went right off and went
he
to another guy.
He was clearly talking
know.
About people, and I'm guessing people that he thinks could replace Cam Cameron, and it said there was a picture of Pepper Johnson.
You sure it wasn't Maurice Carthon?
No, it wasn't
It was definitely Pepper Johnson. Maybe he's just looking at one of those Belichick guys. Maybe, you know.
He's a Parcells guy, too. In Miami.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Maybe
did I say
defensive coordinator?
Did I say Belichick guy?
Could be.
I meant Parcells.
The only thing
guy.
I'm going by is the text at the bottom.
Right,
so who
I saw the thing.
So,
yeah.
I can't imagine.
What happened to Mike Singletary? I thought he was up for one of these jobs.
I thought that he was going to be the guy
last
for Atlanta. He was a hot guy for Atlanta.
And then he was also, there were rumors they were going to fire Nolan and promote Singletary to head coach to keep him.
Apparently, Arthur Blank has just called Rich Kotite, and Rich Kotite has declined to be interviewed.
He's not even interested in being interviewed.
He said he's going to interview
But Denny
guys?
Green has said, I'd be happy to
yeah,
come.
Yeah, Denny Green, he's ready to go.
I thought that Mike Singletary made sense in Atlanta because I think
sure.
it's like he's a you know a first-time guy, energetic guy. I think the fact that he's African-American
and
in Atlanta in that
huge.
Community is important, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Not that he's not qualified. I wouldn't hire him because he's African-American.
Plus, he's one of those guys that I think he would work well with like a D'Angelo Hall, a guy who's had some issues, maybe a little, needs to be reined in. Singletary seems to be fiery, but also sort of spiritual and Don Davis-y kind of mentor in the same way.
I get that vibe, even though I've never spoken to him.
I've stood in line at the pancakes with him.
That's true. You guys have had a moment.
Skinny looks like he's got AIDS or something.
Oh,
although
he's
lost about 100 pounds. Since.
I am proud that Fred ate his second hot dog. He
lost 100 pounds?
Fred ate his second hot dog without the bun.
I took the bun out.
Threw the bun out.
And without chewing. Sucked it down.
Uh-oh. What's this? I'm being handed a bulletin.
Food is coming.
Harry Carson was the person that was pictured.
No, that wasn't Harry. Not the guy
I
saw.
Pepper frickin' Johnson.
No, the guy I saw was not Harry Carson. Because
okay.
I know what Harry Carson was.
Maybe
like.
He was one of the guys before that, but the guy.
Yeah, they were rotating.
Yeah, the guy Andy's talking about was not Harry Carson.
Was Pepper Johnson. Yeah,
there was a lot of guys.
Sure.
A lot of guys that were going on. I didn't see really quick, but it was not
and
Harry Carson.
I can tell you it wouldn't be Harry Carson because he's kind of a little off his nut.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He does the New York pregame, the Giant games. And I've listened to him a lot from the sideline.
Who was in the locker room?
He filled one too many A-gaps.
Yeah.
He was in our locker room the other day.
Who was in our locker room the other day?
At Giant Stadium, post-game, a former Giant.
Lawrence Taylor?
Nope.
Carl Banks?
I think it might
have been Carl
Banks.
Could have been Carl Banks.
It was one of those guys, and I was like, I know him.
I saw Carl Banks outside the locker room, so it probably was Carl
Banks. Did he have like that acne?
I don't think I wouldn't know Carl Banks if he walked in this room right now.
I knew he was a guy I knew, but I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, he has a gig on Sirius. He does this
again. Apparently everybody does.
That's what I'm saying.
He's very good.
Can we
Adam Shine good. Here on Sirius. You're doing a fine job, Aaron Ross. You've redefined the position. I don't start anymore. You're still doing a fine job.
Can we get a 10 o'clock with Jonathan next week?
10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. Can we have a 10 o'clock appointment? 10 to 10:05-ish.
Talk about Sirius?
We have a proposal. Put that together.
you have experience of putting together those
What are
proposals?
Those things you always
it'll
do?
Be
RFPs?
It'll
or?
Be in my review.
Well, here's my idea for this show next year is to syndicate it.
What's that mean?
I want
we'll
put
have
it on
Patriots.com, but allow other stations to have this show if they want.
Well,
it.
Did you see that
That's
big deal
idea.
Fell through? That big deal
I
with
know.
Entercom fell through. Maybe we can sneak in there.
Yeah, you never know.
We'd have to clean it up a little if you did that.
A though. Little, but we're okay.
We're
we know how to clean it up. People saw me clean it up on SportsNest
we'll
or whatever.
We'll just use those wipes.
I don't really want to clean it up.
Yeah, we use wipes to clean it up. Gives you a cool sensation.
Let's see. Ziggy says, what rules govern the addition of new players to a team in the playoffs? Why are injured reserve players off the list of eligible?
Because when you go on injured reserve, you're not eligible to play again.
That's the rule.
Right. The only thing,
why is it 10 yards for a first down?
If there's a player that is available, he's on the street as a free agent, then
Bethel Johnson.
You could pick him up. Yeah, Bethel
Johnson.
Oh,
yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Bethel Johnson was in for a workout, Fred.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I put Paul on the spot on the roster report when I said, Paul, Bethel Johnson was in for a workout. Talk about it. Yeah.
Bethel Johnson, really?
Kick returner. Hobbs has been a little banged up, has been taken off kick returns a couple times. Maybe just, you know.
Whatever happened to Willie Andrews?
He's back there.
He's been banged up, too, though.
He's never the deep guy. He's always the up guy.
He's always the up guy.
But he's been banged up, too, hasn't he?
He did miss a game. Like
so,
maybe two
you know,
games
just
ago.
Making sure you have a guy available if you needed a kick return.
Oh, he might have missed the game Saturday.
Yeah, he did. He missed the final.
Now, if you're Bethel Johnson, do you do anything you can to get back on this team?
Yes.
Yes.
If I'm any player that Bill calls, I do anything I can.
I do
They're
anything
going to win
I can.
The
one
Super
of the
Bowl.
Reasons he
if I'm Bethel Johnson, I do anything I can to get on anybody's roster.
I know, but one of the reasons he left this team to begin with is... You know, it was upstairs. He just wasn't a guy that would conform.
He's never going to get that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think he's turned over a new leaf?
No.
No.
No?
But it doesn't matter. He's stupid. This is a nice short period for him. They need him. He's available. Could be the perfect storm. But, I would do anything I could to win a Super Bowl ring.
I'll tell you, say what you want about Johnson, but I remember seeing in that training camp the first time he returned a kick, and I never saw somebody go from 0 to 60 faster than him. He had such acceleration right off the block.
Scary fast was the quote I used 150 times.
He could run.
So,
no doubt.
It's a shame.
I think if he had the ability to match his kick return ability as a wide receiver, he would still be here. I don't care about his, what upstairs. I think there's a lot of ways to work around that. I don't think he was that good of a wide receiver.
He was slightly better than Tony Simmons, but not much.
I don't think he was better than Tony Simmons as a wide receiver.
Really? You think Tony Simmons was better?
Just as a receiver, not as a returner. I mean, as a kick returner, Bethel Johnson might be the best I've seen. He was fantastic.
All right, Joey Feep. Haven't heard from him in a while
Joey
either.
Joey Feep.
He says, hey, you cork-soaking douchebags. With only the fourth regular... See, now, could we say that if we weren't... Yeah, we could... On Sirius,
we can say anything.
But if we were syndicated...
I did find out, though, it's on TV, they don't say douchebag, they say douche. So it must be the bag that's the dirty
part.
Right,
it's like
the
hole in the ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
This doesn't make any sense.
And he says, anyway, with only the fourth perfect regular season in NFL history in the books and the first Patriot playoff game a week away, it's time for some end-of-season Patriot awards. So these are according to Joey Feep.
Okay.
He says, team MVP is no-brainer Brady. Team least valuable player is Chris Hansen.
I don't know about that.
Least valuable player?
Least valuable player, Rashad Baker. He played long enough to be eligible, right?
Let's see. The person who was unspectacularly...
never good when the first round pick is a candidate.
Unspectacularly solid, James Sanders.
Yes.
Who knew? That's a good description. Who knew? Wes Welker, 112 catches, 8 TDs.
Fred Kirsch, nice little player. Fred Kirsch knew.
Have Lunchbox will play. The entire O-line, including backups. Special props to Logan Mankins, the man beast. I hope I get invited to training camp next year. Pierre Woods, Eric Alexander, Willie Andrews. Unsung heroes, Kevin Falk, the entire D-line. Jabbar Gaffney, Steven
Unsung
Duskowski.
Heroes, they make like $150 million between them.
No way.
Willie Andrews will be in training camp next year. You can guarantee that, by the way.
How the F did you make that catch? Randy Moss 23 times. Great season. The show's better and better week after week. I hope you all have a great Christmas. And this is, I don't know when he sent this. Have a happy new year. I may spring for lunch one of these days. You all sound like you're starving.
Today's a day.
No, actually, somebody has already offered up. Gary.
Yes.
And Gary's on it.
They're the best.
I just started eating my granola bar.
Which means I get to eat two extra things because Fred already ate two hot dogs and you're eating granola bars.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. I was just handed this by Gary. Aren't you guys at least a little concerned about Craig from South Carolina? Where's he been?
He got a job.
I think I speak for all PFW in Progress listeners when I say that the show has been overrun by guys like Salt who don't revere you guys the way Craig once did.
That's true. He told Tom to shut up a half hour ago.
He told me, all I said was hello.
You don't
hello.
Deserve to be revered.
I said hello to the guy.
He could be
I just
dead,
said that you're
laying
first
on the
of all,
floor
really don't like
of
you.
His new house.
I really dislike you. I'm sorry, Frank. Go ahead.
Craig could be dead, laying on the floor of his new house after being impaled by his favorite Tom Casale bobblehead. I can't believe I was impaled by Tom Casale. Maybe you guys should give him a rare once-in-a-lifetime direct call from Foxborough to see if he's still the Pats' number one fan and hasn't shifted his focus to a different pro franchise. Going into the playoffs, the team may need his analysis to fix their most obscure deficiencies. And by the way, Roy Williams made the Pro Bowl again. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's stupid. That's my thought.
To be fair, it took a guy dying for him to get there.
I think he might have had him shot.
Well, guess what? He heard the email, and on the phone right now is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right.
You guys sound so relieved that I'm doing okay, huh?
We are happy.
You just heard that. People are writing in. They're worried about your welfare.
Well, got all settled in the new job, new house, and all that kind of fun stuff. The only thing is, their internet security being what it is, I can't listen to the show live. I can only listen to the playback. So.
Oh, they don't let you do it at work?
Nah.
Oh,
that sucks.
Nah. So I said, well, I've got to call the guys. I'm heading up that way shortly, and who knows? I might be making a guest appearance.
Oh, that would be.
I'm busy.
That would be good. If
Fred is available, however.
We'll put you on the show if you come up.
Oh, I'm definitely coming up.
Okay.
You know the rules. You have to bring lunch.
Right.
Well,
and
I
presents.
I think I can handle that.
Yes!
Well, listen, I've really missed you guys, and
Craig is back, baby.
Oh, we've missed you too, and we've missed that in particular.
good one, Gary. On top of his game today.
Yep.
Well-timed.
As Andy was pointing to me, and I was wondering why he wanted me to see DePaul Villanova highlights.
Oh, no.
That wasn't on there when I first looked. Patrick Willis was named Defensive Rookie of the Year.
There
we apparently have.
They're back on track.
They're now a day behind because they put the AP Coach of the Year.
Well, but now they're back on track. No. Who was supposed to be today?
Moss. So you're not
Moss,
getting
comeback player of the year.
Oh, comeback.
You're not getting your pulse story. I don't know what to tell you, Fred.
All right. Well,
so when are they going to do that?
Tomorrow, I assume. Now they've started bumping them.
So when are they going to do MVP?
Sunday. So that story will be for Monday.
Well, that was already a Monday page anyway.
Oh, then we're fine.
The story's going to be written.
Yeah, just add
by the way,
quote.
Matt in Waseca is sending lunch for you, Andy.
Oh, he's nice.
Just me?
Thanks,
just
Matt.
For Andy?
I love Matt. Matt's the best.
No, Andy's the only one bitching.
That would be the...
That's because I just downed two hot dogs.
And you did down it.
We'll be taking a break.
I don't understand how you can eat something that you don't even really like that much that fast.
I'm just hungry.
I just love the whole I got to get in shape. I'm living life, baby.
Sucking down a hot dog.
Everyone dies sometime.
That's because I just downed two hot dogs. Joe and Indy. Hey, guys, after Moss scored his first TD of the game and got penalized, I was pretty upset. Upon further review, I believe the penalty was actually Maroney's fault for dancing with him, thus being a group celebration. While it seemed brief and probably a little overzealous on the official's part,
yes.
It makes more sense if that's the case. Have we heard anything else about why that flag was thrown?
No, but that's the reason. It was thrown on Maroney.
It was on Maroney,
I think
it was a terrible call.
Over-officious official.
Yep.
He was upset because Moss was dancing right in front of him too close. He turned into a baseball umpire from 15 years ago where he's the show and this is my house and threw a flag and then noticed Maroney dancing and had a reason to throw the flag.
That's exactly how I feel. I think that
the guy's
Moss was so close to the official and then he spiked it and the official was there and I think he got all offended and was looking for a reason. It was called on Maroney. They said it right away.
I'm saying that guy found Maroney after he threw the flag.
And there was that's supposed to be an orchestrated celebration.
Right.
Are you trying to tell me that was predetermined, that Lawrence Maroney was going to come over and just wiggle for a half a second?
If that's the case, then
that was horrible.
When Brady jumps in Logan Mankin's arms, you could
that's
call
two
it
guys.
There's two guys. Any of those that involve two people, you could
it's
call.
It's a terrible rule, and that was a terrible enactment even of a bad rule. That was just horrible. There's no reason for 15 yards to be penalized on a play like that.
You know what referees are? They're the government. They need to have some things in their hands, but they got way too much. Stop with the interpretations and all that crap. Listen, if a guy comes up and spikes the ball in somebody's face, if he's pointing in somebody's face, that's taunting. And everybody in the world knows that. But what happened on Sunday, you're throwing a flag on that? That's just stupid. Not enough
well,
of that.
Brad says the same thing. It was a group celebration penalty. Maroney did a shimmy.
Yeah, no, that's what they called. I would argue that it wasn't a group celebration.
Yeah,
that's all.
It was a little ticky-tacky, but that's how they call it. I like the way Tom Jackson has encapsulated the Patriots situation, says Brad. Quote, this team is three games from immortality and one game from infamy.
I like Tom Jackson. He's funny.
I just don't get the whole groups. I mean,
a group celebration is that old one where they all got in the thing and then they rolled the grenade and they all blew up and fell down. That's funny.
And I like that.
I did too. But if you want to eliminate those, that's a group celebration. That's orchestrated. They planned it.
Don't eliminate it.
Well, I don't think you should eliminate any.
No, you shouldn't eliminate it. But if you're trying to eliminate something, what was the reason for it? They thought that there was becoming that it was really rubbing it into the other team. And they, like T.O. on the celebrations, on the logos and stuff.
That's good stuff.
If you're getting to the point where you're doing something like that and the other team is getting offended, okay, now you got to do something. But tell me where the Giants were having a problem with what happened on Sunday.
Paul, it's my old thing. They should have like three rules, and one of them is unnecessary roughness / I didn't like what you... The officials should just say, that's wrong, that should be wrong, throw a flag.
I know it when I see it. Right.
You don't need to let... If you have a pen, if you use snow, that's a prop. If you use
Because the Fun Bunch celebrated once in I think it was one of your guys.
Downs and Everson Walls got
came over and had a hit guy. Well, stop giving up touchdown passes, and they won't be able to high-five in the end zone.
The classic line from Billy White Shoes Johnson when they asked him, are you rubbing it in when you do your dance? And he said... Yeah, he said, if they don't want to see it, they ought to cover me better. There you go. This stuff's been going on forever. And
it's entertaining.
I think it's fun.
But I think, like you guys said, you know when there's a penalty. I mean, let's be honest. We all know when there's a penalty.
Right. T.O. running to midfield to spike the ball on the star, that's a penalty.
Right, exactly.
That's what you're trying intentionally to draw the ire of the other team.
Yes.
And we know the players agree with us because when they made these rules a couple of years ago, they all said, oh, I thought it was funny. Oh, I thought it was entertaining.
And you know what I love? NFL films, how many times have you seen the Fun Bunch? How many times have you seen Icky Woods?
Right.
The NFL hates it so much, they can't wait to wrap it up and sell it to everybody.
Right. But it's just like that whole thing that, they talk about that all the time. Well, of course, the NFL also, those commercials that you see, how many big hits do you see?
Violent.
That are violent, and most of which
were
either penalized or fined.
Because no one wants to see Heath Evans for a one-yard gain up the middle.
I do.
Or a guy dance out of bounds and not get touched.
ESPN stopped doing the jacked up.
Yep,
thing.
They stopped doing the jacked up. You're right.
But
you know that.
I'm talking about.
And I stopped watching the Monday Night Countdown.
Most popular part of the show by
my,
far.
My wife used to say, "Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Is it time for jacked up?" She loved
jacked
it.
Jacked up.
It was the best part of the show.
Right.
Or maybe they just stopped it because Irvin wasn't there to go jacked up.
Right? That's true. He was the guy that made it.
To be honest with you, that was the only part of that I liked was them yelling.
All I watched that was must see TV, and they took it away.
And then they started doing it waiting for halftime, which made it worse. And then
the number one was at halftime.
You have to wait for halftime.
Well, because they realized, everybody only watches this. Well, we'll make them watch the first half to get to the last one.
Let's see. Chris from the Bronx, he says, Fred, don't say Bethel Johnson's initials. BJ? I'm sure you talked about Bethel Johnson getting a look from the Patriots. To me, it says that Coach Belichick isn't happy with the special teams at the moment. Looking at the replay of Dominic Hickson's return, it looked like the Pats missed Echo as our boy Ventrone got flipped out of the way.
I think this
may be overblown due to Johnson's success 3 years ago. He hasn't done much in the league since 04. Any thoughts?
Overblown Johnson.
Did anyone get a chance to watch Dontrell Savage play in the whatever it was bowl game on the network? I can't get. I heard over 100 yards, but unspectacular overall. Is he still someone to watch out for in the draft?
Well, you're not going to believe this.
You watched it.
No, I watched it. Some people wanted a lot of points in that game. What can I tell you?
You like him, though.
I liked him, but I did not like the way he ran in that game. He did that Kevin Jones stuff that he did at Virginia Tech where he'd go one way, then he'd reverse field. One of the things I liked in the couple games I saw him was he hit the hole so hard. So now I got a couple of doubts about him because I did not like the way he ran the ball in that game at all.
Fred, two easy questions. One, who is the greatest American of the year of the past 100 years? A, FDR. B, MLK. C, Eisenhower. Or D, Bob Kraft. I'd have to say FDR followed by Bob Kraft.
I'm going Kraft 1.
Also,
hear that, Mr. Kraft?
Can we get that 10 o'clock with Jonathan?
Also, I was reminiscing about the creature double feature they used to show on Saturdays on the
Channel
old 56. Channel 56. Remember that?
Nice.
And then they had Thriller Theater. Did you watch Thriller Theater, too?
No, nothing.
And I was starting to wonder what kind of B-movie monsters Fred thinks the Patriots would be. A, vampires. B, werewolves. C, zombies. Or D, it's a trick question as the Patriots can only represent goodness in light.
Fred, you have to answer. It's for you.
Of those three... Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think of those three, they would be vampires.
Oh, yeah. They suck the blood out of you.
Yeah. You know.
Leave you lifeless.
Okay. So that's Chris from the Bronx.
That was pretty random. I mean, Bethel Johnson's not going to be covering kicks. He's not going to be a jacked-up career cover
guy. It was kind of mixed up there on that email.
And did you see the – I was watching Channel 5 News last night. They were playing the locker room footage from All Access from post-game at the Giants. And I laughed out loud because Bill's saying, that's how, this is something special. You guys should be proud. And they kind of pan and they show Ray Ventrone just standing there like smiling. And it was just like, Brady, Moss, and then you see Ray Ventrone sort of behind him.
I love those kinds of stories. Like, that guy is going to be able to just say for his whole life,
right,
I was there.
And
I
get that footage and show it. And see, him. That's me right there.
And the Colts game, the thing with the Colts game where they pump fists together.
Speaking of Belichick, did any of you catch the full hour version of NFL Game of the Week, Pats versus Giants last night on the ION Network? What is amazing about the long version?
ION.
I don't know what
does that mean.
I know what it means. It's the station that the Wonder Years used to be
on.
This must be a different network.
ION. I've never heard of it.
ION Television.
Was he making
like
a joke?
It's like 15 here.
Was he making a joke in that the game was on every network?
No, oh, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. What is amazing about the long version is that they had Bill Belichick mic'd for the whole game. It is incredibly revealing about Belichick's game management and how hard he coaches the players during the game. Off the top of my head, here are some of the tidbits. Belichick talking with Tom Brady pregame on what good weather it was to throw that night. Brady replies, it's always a good time, and not all the time, says Belichick. Belichick coaching in defensive huddle to take the angle when it's given. Belichick saying, that's just what we want before the first touchdown to Moss. Belichick getting clarification from the refs on the penalty for a group celebration after the Randy Moss touchdown. Don't you guys have anything better to call than that? And then Moss taking the blame for it, saying, my bad. Belichick coaching Randy Moss to go out to catch the ball at the highest point, all the while the kickoff return by the Giants goes back all the way. Belichick telling Josh to go for it on fourth down. Belichick telling Josh to throw something quick to the outside. Belichick telling Josh he would have two plays to get a first down on third and fourth down. Belichick running
down.
That's
the kind of stuff I like
there. That's also the kind of stuff that we banter about in the press box all the time. But no one cares what we think.
But I don't think enough coaches do that. I don't think enough coaches know on third and four that they're going
to
go.
But you have to. You have to. That's why he's the best.
Right.
Belichick running down the sidelines to tell the defense to get out on number 17 before a correctly predicted end zone fade. Belichick telling Dean Pease that they needed more pressure on Manning, followed by a big sack. Belichick seeing the interception by Hobbs before it happened. And Belichick heavy-duty coaching on Hand's team before the onside kick. And after Vrabel recovers, saying, where's my boy Mike Vrabel? That's a championship play. And then his post-game talk. That was by far the most I've heard from Bill on the sidelines and the most revealing.
Ball washing there. Holy Moses.
He must have agreed to be Mike because
the end zone,
the game
Vrabel
was so historic, but it still was a big surprise. I don't know if they repeat the show on NFL Network, but beg, borrow, or steal to get a copy.
I would like
can.
To see that. I agree with Tom. I think that's really
Game
insightful.
Game of the Week, Patriots. That's
what
it'll
be on 150 times.
But they're obviously showing a lot of stuff that Bill talked.
Oh, that's good.
Because they have those mics, and they give you little snippets here and there, but not enough to put anything together. I'd really be interested in hearing
I like how
stuff.
He told the guy calling the plays, you have two plays to get the first down here. Yeah. See, I like that kind of stuff.
See, that's what I think the good coaches do, and Bill always talks about that. Charlie used to talk about it, Andy, with us. About the sequence of plays and how you can't just call the play and then just say, okay, well, that worked. Now what am I doing? You have to already know two, three, four steps in advance. Well, you know, assuming this works, I'm going to do this. If it doesn't work and I got a penalty, I got to do that. You have to have if then scenarios and flowcharts in your head, and I think that's what the best coaches do.
Louis from Tampa, memo to Tom and Andy, don't you ever do that again. I mean, both of you missed the show last week. Want to know what happened? Paul and Fred were all alone like in the old days. They started talking about football, and they came upon a point of disagreement, which they resolved in a calm and mature way. Yeah, right. They bickered like grumpy dwarfs for 45 minutes. I couldn't believe I was glad to hear Eric drop by.
When did we miss the show?
I was sick, and
you took
the day off.
And Tom wasn't here. That's funny because that was the day that Eric came in and he goes, wait a minute, you guys have been doing the show for an hour and a half and you're not at each other's throats?
My question, I watched the NFL Films piece about Super Bowl 30 Cowboys Steelers. I want to ask Tom why this is his favorite since Jimmy Johnson was long gone.
What? But that wasn't my favorite.
Oh.
No, my favorite is the first one.
Okay.
That's my
first one's always special.
Well, that's my least favorite.
My
because
favorite
they
is
played
the next
like,
one.
They played like crap.
Is Super Bowl 36 the favorite for the rest of the crew?
By far.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
He might be getting that mixed up because I always laugh at Bill Cowher for him and his daughter crying after the game. That I enjoyed immensely.
I really like... I mean, in terms of... like the one that you most memorable special, it's got to be 36 for that. You know, the first one, the upset and all that. But in terms of the game, that Carolina game is still, to me, the best game I've ever witnessed in person.
But the whole Super Bowl 36 was a great experience.
The story, everything around it.
Everything. The entire New Orleans couldn't have a better location for a Super Bowl.
The best professional experience of my life, too, just to be there and be a part of it.
You know what the AFC hotel is for Arizona?
No.
Turn back the clock about 4 years. Or 3 years.
Where we stayed?
The resort.
Yes. Oh,
so you'll get
go.
To be there all week. Some of us will
on.
Be there for a day and then get kicked
Damn
out.
Damn it, Fred.
Fred,
Fred
Motel
goes, Fred
7.
Goes, I hope we go.
I hope we go.
I remember when I first started working
here. We might as
well
be there now.
He always had our back. So something's changed with this man.
I hope we go.
Steve.
Or you could just have us all stay in your room with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a big suite.
Steve says, a record that no one seems to be talking about is most presents in a single Christmas that Chris Ferreira's son set this week.
Oh, we have to add to this.
I know it's not one of the more glamorous records, but every member of the Pat staff should get their due. Give Chris my congrats, assuming he's still not at home watching his son open them.
Well, he's at home because he's frozen to his couch because he couldn't afford oil.
What?
All those presents they bought, they realized oil was over three-something a
now
gallon.
Now they can't heat the house.
He can't afford to buy oil. He was thinking about calling Joe Kennedy for that Joe's Oil campaign.
What?
Can you believe this guy? He buys 100 presents for his son for Christmas, thinks it's the right thing to do. Now he can't get to work because he can't afford gas and he can't heat the house.
He's now looking into subsidized oil programs to heat his family.
Those are the kind of those cheap, you know, those people like that, that I can't stand those people. They spend money on something else, and they want to get something else on the cheap.
Right. Yeah, the welfare guy that's driving around in the Mercedes on
exactly.
rims. We'll get off welfare, you bum, and don't use your money on that crap.
Is that true? He's at home?
Well, no, he's
they
in
have
today.
No heat?
He's in today.
No, they don't have heat.
He was looking into, apparently, the Joe's Oil, whatever that campaign is, to get oil.
Because
he had to pay $3.40 for oil or something ridiculous.
Meanwhile, he's paying $2,000 on
Christmas.
Yeah,
and looking at $1,000
you know, kayak.
He should get on a plan. It's,
but his son's three. You know, he needs all those presents.
Yeah. Let's see.
He's got to prove he loves them.
Amelia says, Fred rocks, Paul sucks. First time emailer, but I discovered you almost a year ago, and I've been listening ever since. Love Fred. He's funny, doesn't take himself seriously, and isn't obsessed with porn and strippers like Tom and Andy, or proving he's not gay like Eric. Tom is fun for his football knowledge, and Andy for his wit. Especially when he pokes fun at Eric and Paul, the two annoying props. Paul constantly saying your objective doesn't actually make you largely biased, uninformed rants objective. And Eric, you need to do a better job of pretending you're not gay. For starters, find a real fake girlfriend, not a blow-up doll that you can't introduce to the rest of
this
the gang.
This is a girl?
Yeah.
Also, love callers Matt and Anthony. Matt's accent is quite appealing, so he can brag about working for the Blue Jays as much as he likes. Since Craig no longer calls, the most annoying caller is now Callie Girl. Is she going to drop the ditzy voice act now that she's changing her hair color from blonde? So that's Amelia. Then she has some questions.
Amelia is all worked up, and I love the email.
Apparently she doesn't want Paul to answer them.
How'd you get happy after that one?
You're one step ahead of Eric.
She took shots at you guys,
too. No, I know, but she's funny.
Just because she hates me more than you doesn't mean she likes you.
She asks, would Nick Caserio's move from personnel to coaching be considered a demotion or a lateral move, and why would he do it? And Belichick ask him if Caserio prefers the personnel side, as Andy implied on yesterday's show.
Because they needed him, and I think he is one of their core guys. If you had to draw a list of core guys, I think he's in the group. He is a Belichick guy. And Bill said, I need you to coach receivers. And I think he goes,
well, how do you know he likes?
I think it's just, that's just my opinion. I get the impression he likes personnel better. And I also get the impression that that's maybe where he's best suited for long term. That however the staff shakes down over the next year or two, at some point he ends up back in personnel. That's just my opinion. He certainly didn't tell me.
She's got a lot of other questions. One, I assume that Hobbs plays 10 yards off the line of scrimmage as part of the defensive scheme, but it seems odd that backpedaling to remain 10 yards off the receiver would be part of the scheme. If you agree, why hasn't the DB coach fixed this problem? Also on TV, Gay looks like the better DB over Hobbs, both in terms of coverage as well as tackling. How does he look to you live? And if you have the same opinion, why do you think Hobbs is still the number two?
Well, I think Gay's a better tackler. I don't think he's a better coverage guy.
Defensive coaches do that when they're scared. Like when Parcells was in Dallas that one year, they went 6-10. They had all those injuries in the secondary. They had guys like Jacques Reeves still starting. But he had Terrence Newman playing that way, too, because they didn't have anything back there. Newman can't play that way. So when defensive coordinators know that guys can run by them, they do that because they'd rather give up a 12-yard out to Reggie Wayne instead of a 45-yard touchdown to Reggie
Wayne.
And
my guess is
you won't see Samuel doing that.
The biggest criticism that Hobbs gets in meetings is at some point, Ellis, you need to cut the cushion down. You need to break on the ball. You need to close. You need to make a play.
He has terrible ball skills.
Yeah.
Terrible ball skills.
Another question she has is, I'm somewhat surprised at the interview request being made for McDaniels. Is he really that good? Does Andy have any insider perspective since they were interns together?
Insider perspective in terms of what?
I don't know. Did you know him as when you were an intern?
Yeah. We used to sit together on the plane.
Yeah. So, any inside?
Well, I mean, he was just an intern back then. I couldn't ask him back then. He's definitely a football guy.
Be good.
He's definitely a football guy. He broke down film. That was his whole. He broke down every ounce of film they used in the 2001 season for everything. And he started just like Bill. And I think that's why there's an interesting bond there. He started exactly like Bill started, making no money as the lowest level coach, breaking down film nonstop.
And I what think does that's that mean, breaking it. Down film?
Play by play, formations, personnel groupings, adjustments.
Well, that's
got to
be a thankless job.
Oh, they take every play in every category and they fill in this big database.
Let me tell you something. I did a big feature when he and Brian Daboll were the coaching assistants, and they did that. It was about 2,500 words that put me to sleep.
But he was very good at it, was my understanding.
Yeah.
Very quick at it.
And it's an integral
anybody
part.
Could do it.
It's an yeah. It's
but
an
doing it well and fast is different.
It's an integral part of the coaching process.
So that's where you
and
start.
It's that whole thing Bill always talks about.
The other teams around the league call them quality control coaches. Mm-hmm, right. Around here, they don't give them the title.
Oh, okay.
They're coaching assistants, and they're not really part of the masthead and all that. But that's what you do when you're fighting your way in. And they were very good at it, evidently, because they worked their way up the ladder relatively quickly. But it was, just what Andy said. You're filling in all the personnel groupings, the substitution patterns, some of the stuff that Bill talked about today with what you can't see when you're watching on the tape. The advanced scouts kind of fill you in. That's the stuff that they're doing
for
you.
They put everything together.
Right.
They know more than the coaches do because they see they're the ones sort of starting to try to break it down into a manageable amount of information that can turn into a game plan and adjustments and a preparation week. And it's what Bill always talks about. He got such a good foundation those early years doing the different jobs. And I think he thinks Josh has the same sort of foundation. He was on defense, so he knows defenses, but he was breaking down offenses, so he knows offenses. I think there's a lot of similarities there, and that's why I think there's a definite affinity from Belichick to McDaniels. Plus, he has the coaching. His father is a coach, a high school coach. He knew he was going to be a coach at some point. He just didn't know it was going to be a pro head coach, which is clearly where it's going now.
Let's see. Mike Gerken writes in.
The Pickle Man.
I was listening to the podcast of the last few shows and wanted to comment on a subject you talked about on Wednesday.
Breasts?
First off, I have to agree with you 100% that Ben Watson is a great athlete but not a great football player. He will never be an impact tight end in this league, and he probably is what he is at this point. Now, it seems Belichick has an obsession with drafting tight ends, so I thought I would throw out a few names to see what you guys thought of them. I know it's early in the process, but with the week off, maybe you guys caught these guys in their bowl games. First one is Martin Rucker from Missouri.
Yeah, they got two good ones.
Anything?
They're both athletic guys. They're pass catching tight ends. They're H back kind of guys. They're not gonna block
Tony
much.
Gonzalez?
Yeah, they're that kind of. They're pure receiving tight ends. That's how they use them. They're their leading receivers. That's just the way Missouri runs it. So,
and I'm not sure Bill necessarily gravitates toward that type.
No, I don't think they would be the kinds of.
How about Brandon Pettigrew from Oklahoma State?
I don't know.
Now that guy, he's a special player. He's a beast. He can catch. He can. What he is what people thought Watson would be. He's athletic. He makes one-handed catches. He runs through people. He jumps over people. He's that kind of guy. I think he'll be one of the top tight ends taken.
I got to watch more Oklahoma State then, huh?
They're loaded. If they had a defense, they'd win the national championship. They score every time they get the ball.
And their quarterback's leaving? That just scrolled across.
Who's Zach? No, the other guy.
The guy,
the guy who was the subject of the
whatchamacallit. Bobby Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Reed is leaving.
Because
their quarterback is a sophomore.
Come at me. I'm 40.
TG and Joyce says, oh, my God, if Craig comes on the show live, what happens when you blow him up? Will he actually be exterminated? Maybe he'll be late and you can put him on with John Rook. get rid of the end zone celebration penalty rule. It's just plain stupid. You don't want to promote it. Don't broadcast it. Don't put it in the highlight clips. There you go.
I want to see it, so put it in the highlight clips.
Right. But
I am entertained. Yes, I am.
Chris says, fantastic timing on the Craig blow up. Love the show. I've been delinquent as I'm recovering from Christmas credit card bills, but give me a day next week to deliver lunch. And what should Tom get, a Caesar salad?
He used to like big salads. Now he likes plain breasts.
Gary's got a salad there that he said's good. I'll have him send you the info.
Should I have hot dogs delivered to Fred to make Andy laugh? And you guys need to get on Sirius. I mean, the barbershop. Good God.
Oh, that sounds bad. Because for some reason, they have clips from it every week. Those barbers are saying something about somebody.
Right.
And Fred, you hit it right on the money. That's your best observation since you said Buffalo was like Germany circa 1941. That's exactly what it's like. It's like an FM station, like late night.
Right. they just think that they're like the, you know.
I can't imagine personally thinking more differently about guys than I do about them. I used to really, really, really like both of those guys a lot. Now I find them so insufferable.
It's just, you know, they're just sitting in their smoking jackets with their Cavassier. Yeah. And, you know.
Why would Rondé say, I mean, you're playing the Giants. You're not Tiki. You're not retired.
Can you imagine how many times that they must have said the phrase, football isn't what I am. It's what I do. Can you imagine how many times those two pompous jerks must have said that in their lives.
So you're right, just like Eric. He would fit in perfectly with
those
two.
He would fit in perfectly with them. Bald and pompous.
Let's see.
I get a little vibe, just so you know, from Tiki.
I just want to know how many times both of them tagged the same girl. Because you know that happened.
Or guy.
Whoa, now.
When you said,
I get the vibe.
When you said bald and pompous,
and you would get
I thought Paul was getting a shot there.
Takes one to know one, I guess.
Pompous.
I thought he was going to
bald, okay. I'll put up with the bald, but pompous is a little over the line.
Craig from Boxborough. Hey, Tom, Andy, Paul, and Fred Kraft. Haven't emailed in a while since there hasn't been much to complain about, but I was just wondering how many.
I only email to complain.
Right. How many fumbles the Patriots have committed this year doesn't seem like a lot. Ball handling is a big part of the game, and it just shows how the Patriots have limited mental errors in this season.
8 lost, I believe.
Ridiculously low.
That might be another aspect of the season that's remarkable, is how few times they've turned
Tom
the ball
Brady,
over.
Too, when he gets blindsided and somehow ends up with the ball.
No, the ball gets knocked out of his right hand and he catches it with his left.
I believe they have 21 fumbles, but only 8 lost. I think that's the number.
And I'll bet you.
Good job on how you presented all the records. I like the way you presented that.
That was Andy.
That was Andy.
Very good.
What do you mean?
Well, you had the Patriots record, the NFL record, and whether or not it was a Patriots or NFL record, it was a nice way to present it.
And, glad you brought that up, Fred, because we've been getting some emails about, you know, can we post that? The next issue, which comes on newsstands next week, early next week, it'll be a preview of the first playoff game, obviously. Pages 26 and 27, it's not going to be every single milestone that but it's going to be the ones that we deemed. You know, there's going to be a lot on there. I can't imagine.
Yeah, we left out some, like, most points through 12 games, through 13 games, through 14 games, through 15 games. Right. We put most points in a season.
Period. Right.
There's some annoying ones.
Pages 26 and 27, nice two-page spread with all the records and team records, league records.
You should almost make it into a poster. It would make a nice little poster. Make it a little bigger with some pictures around it.
And sell them and proceeds go to
Andy. Maura did a good job putting it together, too, in terms
Maura
of the,
did a very good job.
In terms of the logo.
I really liked the team
stuff.
Coming out of the tunnel and then all the touchdown guys.
I like the touchdowns. Yeah, that was a nice touch.
And in that same issue, there'll be an earth-shattering Pulse story about the awards of the Patriots.
Really on your mind, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, he's, you know why? Because he's out of his little comfort zone. Because
he likes to have
he usually has
Monday.
Everything
Friday
done about
morning.
3 days ago. He's got the preview to worry about. He doesn't know what team he's doing.
Yeah, speaking of bald and pompous.
Getting it in the lab.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Eric. How you doing, Eric?
I know.
Fans have been clamoring for you.
We normally do a joke, and Fred goes, speaking of Eric.
Yeah, it's supposed to be speaking of arrogant.
Now, again, you don't look too cold.
It's
colder.
It's not that cold out, actually.
Oh,
today.
It's getting warmer out?
It is, but they did stay back in the bubble again today. Full pads practice again. 5 guys again were missing, only there was one swap. Kyle Brady was on the out list. Ty Warren was on the back end list.
But the corners are still out?
The corners were still both out. Kyle Echo was still both out. Nick Kazier was out again. You know, we saw all those guys in the locker room again today. They, you know, didn't appear to be hobbling about, but for whatever reason, they're not there. So
the Samuel one is the one because we've seen Hobbs leave the game a little bit. So he could have some muscle injury. They don't want to get whatever tweaked.
Maybe.
But Samuel, I don't.
Yeah.
Did he get hurt?
I didn't see him get hurt in that game.
Maybe. Didn't I make a comment about hitting Jacobs or something, and I said I would have taken a dive on that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that play.
Did he get banged up?
No, because remember, he kind of dove at the ground, and you were like, yeah, I would have done the same thing, let someone else tackle him kind of thing. But
yeah, I don't know what – I think that's a little weird that he – hey, there's the Mexican wizard who predicted that Hillary Clinton's going to win the presidency.
Looks more like a
the
hobbit.
The Samuel one I find very, very strange. I don't know what to make of that. Mm-hmm. He's going to go a full week without practicing because they had the first part of the week off, these 2 days, and the weekend
they got
off.
All next week.
No, I know. I just find it a little weird that your best corner isn't out there.
What else do you got, Eric?
That's pretty much it. I mean, they
all right. I mean, they were coming.
It hurts more from Fred,
it does,
huh?
It usually does, yeah. But where the hell did this guy go, by the way? What's he doing?
I think he had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. I thought he had a thing, like he always ends up having to have.
In order to go to the bathroom, you need one.
What kind of a thing? Like, giving yourself votes for the Senate?
I knew. See, I don't know why I tell you guys anything.
You know we talk about
it. I don't
everything.
Know why you do either.
I don't know why Chris tells
Rule
us that he can't
one.
Afford oil, but he does, and then we talk about it on the radio.
Just when I think I can trust you
Chris,
guys.
Could you hear about Chris? Now he can't afford to heat his house.
I heard him say something Christmas to you presents. Yesterday about the heating oil.
Yeah, he's living in the cold because he had to buy his stupid 3-year-old son
he was asking everybody how they heat their house.
And yeah, I heard him.
He was lamenting the fact that it's $3.39 a gallon for oil nowadays. You know, news bulletin, oil prices are rising in this
seriously.
Country. And evidently that caught him off guard, you know, in lieu of the 1,000 Christmas presents that he bought his son.
I just start a fire, baby. Turn the old fire.
The old-fashioned one.
Yeah, but you can't buy wood.
Oh, I got a ton of it in the back.
Oh, well, that's good. That if you can get your own wood, you're fine. But these people that turn to wood because they think it's better or cheaper, wood's now over like $300 a cord. You need a couple cord a month, so you're spending more for oil. Plus, you got to start a fire and carry wood in.
Once that wood's gone, I guess that's the end of that. For you.
Unless you're like Fred and just have your own chainsaw, and you just start cutting trees down and burn.
I was going to say, you live in Foxborough. Do you have woods like in your backyard?
I'm not
going to
go
like
chop
that?
Trees down. The wood was already cut and piled there when I got there. Once that's gone, it's gone.
Any black shirts?
Well, same as yesterday.
Same as yesterday. Yeah.
They don't add.
They haven't had a game since.
Anybody in a weird position?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it was a pretty uneventful and we got in and out a lot quicker than usual, too. I mean, they really adhered
in that weird position, you get in and out a lot quicker than usual?
Eric would know.
You know.
What? By the way, hi-ho, you really think I'm arrogant?
I think
just say yes. Don't tiptoe around it. Say yes.
Wait a minute. We're having a moment.
I actually think in a lot of ways, I think
my life make me
you're the most pompous person
idiot?
I've ever met.
I think every member of this panel is arrogant in a lot of ways.
Oh, you are
that's
such
a very political
freaking
answer.
Mitt
that's
Romney.
That.
You
that's a,
punani.
That really is a that's a very political answer.
You,
I wouldn't
you
have
can define
that
it any way you want. I think you think you're a lot smarter than we are. I honestly
wow.
You don't
or you are.
I think we're having a moment.
Wow.
Shut up. I am not.
Oh, should I not include you in that?
What?
He doesn't think he's smarter than you, just me.
This is like terms of
no, he thinks
here.
He's a lot smarter than he is.
Oh, well, I was just going by us. What? I'm an idiot. I'll be the first guy
me
to say
too.
It.
Well, I'm smart, but...
Your mom goes to college.
Well, it's the wise man who thinks he knows nothing. It's the fool who knows everything.
I think you are smarter than me, but I think you think you're smarter than me, too.
It's the fool who knows everything. Fred, is that a real saying?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'm guessing he...
Well, of course.
Did he deliver it properly?
Of course. Eric is there. Of course it is.
All right. Where's my food?
What about
you?
If
like that's
Star
true,
Wars,
then I'm
Fred,
brilliant because
who,
I think I
what's
know
that?
You like Star Wars, right? There's a famous fool quote from that movie.
What, how did that one go?
It was Obi-Wan to Han Solo. Who's
I
more
am
the
your
fool?
Father.
The fool or the fool who follows him?
That's right.
Right. I just remember I am your father. These guys remember quotes from Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I am a lot smarter than all of you,
yes,
Tom, of
that's
course.
True.
So.
You think you are.
Let's see. Josh wants to clear up. He meant Maurice Carthon was the guy that they were showing on TV.
Oh,
and
that's why.
He also says that Chris Mortensen has confirmed through sources that the Dolphins will also consider these five additional assistants as Cameron's successor: Carthon, Todd Haley, who's the Cardinals' offensive coordinator, Mike Tice, who's the Jaguars' assistant head coach and tight ends coach, Rex Ryan, we've talked about, and Leslie Frazier, who's the Vikings'
other than Rex Ryan, those suck.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Pepper Johnson on the TV.
I agree with you, Andy.
Bill Parcells in Ireland, they're not going to hire a guy who's going to want his own way. They're going to want to hire a puppet. I'm telling you.
I'm just telling you that those...
Maybe the producer on TV.
A couple of those guys are terrible.
See, yeah. I did see the that list with Leslie Frazier and Mike Tice and all those guys. Tice was the one that kind of caught me off guard because I didn't realize that Parcells had any sort of relationship with him. But it's going to be someone in their circle.
Right, it always is.
It's got to be some. Parcells doesn't hire guys he doesn't know.
No.
That's why. They came right out and said it.
Or should he?
They came right out and said that's why they got rid of Cam Cameron. It wasn't because of his performance. It wasn't because of what he said. They didn't really know him very well.
And I have no problem with that.
That's how it works.
But Ireland also said that he intimated that he didn't share the same philosophy.
He did.
They don't know if he really shares.
Well, he made some weird comments about we're going to be looking for prototypically sized football players. Yeah. It's like Cameron has this theory that tight end should be small and wide receiver should be fat or something. The wording.
I didn't like that whole thing that Ireland said. That quote.
It was laid back. That's not a good fit.
I like Jerry Jones saying, nah, "I'm not hiring anybody else. I'll make the decisions around here.
We're just gonna go with what we got." We're talking about ski bums, like what it's like to be a ski bum. And Brian from Aspen wants to explain about the life of a ski bum. One, get three of your friends together and go sit in a VW Bug. This is the size of the apartment you get for $1,800 a month. Two, look at your last credit card bill for gasoline and add 50%, double the cost you pay for food and drink. Three, assume that every time you drive your car after dark, you'll be stopped by the cops. If you drink and drive, you will get caught at some point in the season. Four, the male-to-female ratio is 7-1. There is no such thing as an anchor in a group of single women. If you are a lift operator, you get to stand around in below zero weather. If you are a first-year ski instructor, you get to wipe the snot off the noses of a bunch of spoiled brats who will also expect you to serve them hot chocolate. And finally, you get to listen to PFW in progress on your iPod.
So if you're a ski bum, you make $500,000 a year.
Everything the only this way you guy can do it, I guess.
Said, this costs this, this costs that. I thought if you were a ski bum, you kind of just bummed around.
You have to have money to do it, though.
And it sounds like a pretty easy life.
Yeah, you have to be rich to do that anyway. So it's not your money. You're probably living off your parents anyway.
You got a trust fund somewhere that's chipping in.
Like
Fred.
Yeah.
Kind of like marketing interns.
That's true.
Finally, he wants to know, what is our opinion now of the Adalys Thomas signing?
I still think it was a good signing, but he hasn't really been the big impact guy that I thought he was going to be.
Accurate. But it was the right move.
Still a major upgrade.
I'm not going to say in hindsight, wow, they wasted that money.
No,
I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Not at all.
It was the perfect move.
I don't think they wasted money, and I think that he's a major league upgrade over what they had.
But was he a $35 million upgrade over what they had?
I don't know, but I guarantee you, Mini Gary's the reason why we don't have our food right now. Guarantee it.
Where's our food?
It's not delivered yet.
Where's Gary?
I saw him, actually. Yeah, he's in a...
Brian from Honolulu, what did you guys think about Carson Palmer's comments? He called out ownership, coaches, and teammates. Do you think he wants out, and could he end up in the AFC East?
I thought that was going, do you think he could be a backup for Brady?
When Chad Johnson comes here to play, will Palmer come with him?
He also says, by the way, did you hear him say that ownership was too cheap to build a covered practice facility? I can't imagine a free agent coming to Cincy with the prospect of practicing outside in December and January.
Well, that's not the first time that ownership. I mean, Corey Dillon has taken shots at him for being cheap and amongst other players. So, yep.
And as we showed when we looked through to find their scouting department, and there wasn't one.
Yeah.
No, it's a...
They have three.
Mike Brown is incredibly cheap, and he's an idiot.
Yeah, I think that, I think that Palmer is trying to kind of rattle the cages of the guys there to force them to do something because they're kind of stuck on the treadmill and they're not getting any better. They're a mediocre team and they're not getting better. And, you know, he was part of that reason this year because he didn't play very well. But I think Marvin Lewis did the same thing the week before when he said we have to start from scratch and kind of do this over again. Who knows if Marvin Lewis is going to be there. I thought for sure that was happening the next day, but it didn't.
Right.
So I don't know what to think now.
Well, then he said, well, I'll fire all these guys if you want me to, if I can stay.
But I don't see, I mean, I don't. They're not just going to release Carson Palmer.
No.
It's not like he's going to be suddenly become available.
God, I mean, in this league of trying to find a quarterback, you certainly don't want to be kicking guys to the curb.
Because even him in a bad year is better than 20 other starters. Right.
Nick in Vermont says, sorry for the lateness in this request. I just listened to your Christmas edition and loved it. Dan's poem definitely topped last year's. However, Fred didn't tell his tennis racket story as promised. We want to hear it. Well, it's a little late for that.
You can't just do it on request either.
Tune in next year.
It has to just come up in conversation.
And Tom, I have a used butt wipe warmer that is no longer needed in our household as our young son, who hated cold wipes on his butt, no longer wears diapers. Do you want it as a late Christmas present?
How old is your young son?
I'll take it.
Oh, he's just got out of diapers. So.
Yeah, we gotta work on that. I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Oh, you got a young diaper baby boy? Well, you know, he's past the time now?
No, Will's still in diapers.
Well, you know
is
what?
He supposed to be out?
Does he go to daycare yet? No.
Well, he goes to my sister-in-law's daycare center.
Oh, well, when you pick a daycare center, well, they'll do the potty training, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Parenting 2007. Pass the buck.
That's exactly what I want. I want other people to do my job.
Parenting 101 with Brett Kirsch.
What's so big about potty training?
Because I like to have be a part of my kids' lives.
In the bathroom?
Yeah, everything.
Get a urinal, Paul.
What are you looking at?
He'll never have kids. That
he's above that because
no, they can adopt him.
Oh, that's true.
Those people can adopt him
because they won't be smart
A2
enough.
A2,
do you think? He doesn't take any shots at you,
Paul. Get him a urinal. Have you seen those?
He has
kids urinals.
He has a couple of different versions.
The stand up one that looks like our urinal.
It's not a full stand up urinal, but he has a couple of different. He has a seat
in the bathroom next to the toilet. It's got a flush and everything.
Really? He has an actual seat that goes on the regular toilet, and then he has a potty kind of thing. That's separate, but
don't you tell him to shoot the Cheerios or something?
He runs hot and cold. Yeah, he has little things that you put in there. And you try to aim at them.
I wouldn't mind having those.
It's great.
Do they change?
That's
colors
the mentality.
Or
he's gonna. He is gonna be three next month. That is the mentality that
that's
we're dealing
where I
with.
Am. Now, how do you go with the poopies? How do you teach them to poop in the toilet?
Tom's having a coronary over
here. He just needs to get on the seat and do it. Well, next year, in September, he's going to go to school, and he's got to do it by then.
Real school?
Preschool.
Oh yeah.
How do we teach you from stop pooping?
They're not going to change diapers for you.
I've been asking doctors that left and right, and no one has an answer.
Christ, I room with this guy. You have to get it. If you need the bathroom, get in it as soon as you get there. You ain't going to see it again.
Every time we get up in the elevators, when we get off the elevator, and I see Tom run, I'm like, I never see Tom run anywhere. I wonder why he's running. Now
that's
I know why.
It.
He's running to get to the bathroom.
Ugh.
Because he knows once Andy gets it.
I'd like to get some progress reports on what's going on here.
Yeah, we're a little concerned.
Have
Beth
you
and
tried
I are a little
anything?
Concerned on it. Yeah,
like,
we're
does
trying.
He wear different, don't
yeah,
they have like transitional
has,
pull-ups?
Yeah,
or,
and there are times that he
this
wants
is a great topic.
There are times that he wants to do it and times that he's kind of indifferent toward
it. Yeah, most kids are like that.
But
he'll grow out of it.
It's to the point where I think.
I hope so, because if he's 40 and wearing diapers.
Plus that nod.
Well, you never well, did, most people do.
In Fred's case, someone will come along and do it for me, and then it'll grow out of it.
Right.
Fred's theory, why do it if I can pay someone else to?
There's some things that just aren't
you and
necessary.
Felger ought to go out to dinner together.
Yeah.
Fred beat the system, though. He inherited one that was, what, seven?
That's right.
Is he seven?
No, actually, when we got married, he was three and a half.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
I thought he was older than that.
Oh, you were right on the cusp then.
Yeah.
But he already
I take it back. When we started seeing each other, he was three and a half.
Oh, yeah, so you were out of the woods by
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, by the time you get married, it was like five.
Yeah. Let's see. Dan in Charlottesville says, aren't you guys at least a little concerned about Craig from South Carolina? Where has he been? Well, we heard from him today. I think I speak for all PFW in Progress listeners when I say that the show has been overrun by guys like Saul.
He read this.
Oh, I already read this.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, I already read this.
Oh,
at least he caught himself, in the third paragraph.
Let's see. This is Frank, who is a displaced Rhode Islander.
Where's my food?
Who's now in Colorado.
Displaced or realized Rhode Island sucked and left.
Yeah. Hey.
Hello, gentlemen.
What,
3,000?
300,000?
3,800.
Hello, gentlemen. I was wondering whether Paul is moonlighting as Denver Post columnist Mark Kisla. Check out this article to see a nice little Patriots hatred and envy rant. I'm kidding on Paul, of course. We know you are the
I know
only
of
true...
that Denver report, and that was laughable.
Yeah. We know you are the only true Patriots fan, but seriously, you guys are great, except, of course, for Eric.
Are you just adding those, Fred?
No.
Or really right
they, when I host, they're there.
You missed the rocket shot you and I got earlier.
Everyone hates you.
New emailer. Oh, merciless on you and I.
Why?
Female.
Really?
A female.
Yeah.
telling you stop trying so hard to prove
she actually kind of disliked all of us, but in varying degrees.
Yeah. She hated.
She hated me.
She loves Fred.
Yeah, the only one. Yeah, she liked Fred, but
that ought to tell you what her mentality is.
She absolutely hated Tom and Andy. And they were much higher on the food chain than you and I.
And she hated me except when I made fun of you for being gay.
Right.
That was the one thing she liked about me.
That's a redeeming quality for you.
And then you spend too much time pretending not to be gay, and you need to try harder if you want everybody to ever believe you're not gay.
And not get an imaginary girl.
Try harder to make you think I'm
gay. Yeah, I don't know. She thinks you're gay.
She sounds like an idiot.
She just said I had good football knowledge.
Henry from
all I remember is talking about you guys with the laughable porn.
Oh yeah, we're obsessed with strippers and
strippers and porn.
Now, did she mean strippers, the emailer, or strippers?
Leave her alone. She's on a roll. That was a good first time.
She should email more often.
I like that.
Now Henry from Whitefish, Montana, was the guy who emailed in yesterday.
That guy is funny.
And alerted us to the fact that it was Jared Lorenzen who tripped up.
Yes,
you know. He says, just sitting here at work and heard you read my email about Lorenzen tripping Merriweather, and now you're calling me a liar.
That was Paul.
A few minutes later, another emailer backed up my story on Lorenzen. You really should take a look at it.
I saw it.
Okay.
So I don't need to take a look at it.
All right. I
don't think it was a penalty, and the ref didn't see it, so he shouldn't have called the penalty.
All I have to say is I disagree a bit with Paul on his point that the ref should not have called it, just because he couldn't get the call perfectly right. I have been a hockey referee up here in the Canadian border for the last 6 years.
Well, you stink.
And some concepts translate between the sports. Yes, you have to see a penalty to call one, but just because you see a foul occur doesn't mean for sure you see who did it. They call false starts without calling on a number all the time. In a case like this, when you have a pile of players coming together like that, much like the scrums we have in high school hockey, you quite often see something happen in the middle of 10 guys, and regardless of whether or not you get a player's number, you make the call to keep control of the game.
Well, now, I once played high school football, so
maybe that's why that sport's dying.
Contrary to Paul's further statements, if that flag had been for a late hit on Merriweather, I think it would have been an okay call, and I would not have complained. And not calling Wilfork for poking Jacobs in the eye was a terrible miss. I'm just guessing in that case they must not have seen it. There are a lot more cameras on the field than officials.
Excuse me, what was the call?
For what?
On the kickoff.
The people claim that Jared Lorenzen actually tripped Merriweather. I would contend that it was not an intentional
thing. The backup
thing
quarterback
at all.
On the sideline.
Yes.
They called on 81 on 2.
Right. But they got the number wrong. That's fine.
What is Lorenzen?
My point is that they didn't see the penalty. You can't call something you didn't see. I don't think that he tripped him.
Did you see a replay that
I saw the replay and he just kind of went down, and I don't think he was tripped, but you know, if people disagree with me,
that was after he had throttled the Hickson or whoever.
Yeah, I don't think that was a penalty on Merriweather either, by the way. I think that he hit him inbounds.
Me too.
I don't think it was a late hit out of bounds. Originally when I saw it, I was like, "Ooh, I got to see this in the replay to see where he was," but he was in bounds. That was a legal hit.
The Pats got all the calls on that game, most of them.
The only call that went against the Pats was the celebration.
Well, Brady was hit on the head once that I thought they could have called.
Yeah, actually, we talked about that, but it wasn't really a hit on the head as much as it was.
They usually call them, though.
The way they call it, that's
Yeah, the way they call that, that's one that you get.
By the way, that's Mike Felker.
I was going to say, that voice
the,
that
the
just
The dulcet tones of Mike Felker.
Every other call, Fred, your Pats got
Even
it.
Fred admit, well, as I said, Fred admitted it on the bus after the game. Now, 5-6 days later. It's a little different now.
And I did what?
I said, Felker.
That they got every call
that
in
that was
game.
The same crew who did the Cowboys-Carolina game the week before, and Dallas got every call. So apparently, if you're not as good of a team, they don't care. They just want the good teams winning because it was embarrassing 2 weeks in a row from that crew.
By the way, Henry says Whitefish, Montana is a great place for fly fishing.
Sounds like it.
If just you remember, a couple years ago, ESPN did a piece about Bledsoe. I think it was related to Roethlisberger's motorcycling without a helmet, and they showed Bledsoe riding around Whitefish without a helmet. In fact, he rode right past one of my favorite fly fishing spots in the piece.
He probably couldn't get a helmet that fit. He's the one guy who had a bigger head than me.
He did. No Holy question. Moses.
Well, he also had those two screws that came out of his head.
God, that was
wow.
good.
Wow.
Felke, just a smile, no laugh. But
where's that food?
The other three cackling like schoolgirls.
It was funny. Fred's rarely funny.
That was good.
Well, intentionally funny.
Mini Gary, call and find out.
Yeah, call security and see if our food is sitting out there on the...
I tell you, you bring up a subject, and once again, our listeners, there's somebody that has to comment on every one. Dana says, just to clarify the life of some ski bums, there are many of us that don't have trust funds or live off our parents. though if you're living in Aspen, you probably are.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
actually
at Wachusett, the ski bums are probably right. poor, but right. in Aspen, they're rich.
We actually work our asses off all off-season to be able to ski much, if not all, of the season. During the season, you may live in a laundry room, eat ramen noodles with canned chicken, work at night and on weekends, or sell drugs. I don't do this anymore as I now have a real job.
The rich guy in the room, Felger, is nodding his approval to this
email. But I did
this
for almost a decade. Well, not sell the drugs, of course.
Right.
Of course not. Sure.
Felger didn't either.
Dana from Gunnison, Colorado.
My sister is one of those ski bums, and I can say this with 100%. You're all a bunch of douches. You really are. You just don't want to face life. You want to be 20 your entire life. You like those people that follow the Grateful Dead or fish around the country. I can't stand you.
Well, Scott says, I didn't realize at first that Felger had joined the show. I just thought, geez, Eric sounds gayer than ever.
That was good.
All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929. To get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind everyone listening that you can go to Patriots.com. And you can do two things. You can buy two tickets to the divisional playoff game, and all the money goes to youth sports through the Patriots Charitable Foundation. It's $2,500 for two tickets. $2,100 and something is
72.
72 is tax write-off. So it's a good way to support youth football and get two lower bowl tickets to this coming game coming up Saturday. Plus, if you're a Mass resident with a registered car, you can bid on the 16-0 license plate.
Well, it's actually 160.
All right. So you have to just.
Well, it doesn't look like 16-0. What's that bid right now?
It's right now like $3,500.
That's not a lot.
No, it isn't.
No way. $3,000 for that?
Well, considering 56 went for over 16,000 last
right.
week.
Right. And I've been at the Red Sox have a similar thing, and I've seen Red Sox license plates like that with a special number go for $50,000, $50K. I mean,
psst, yeah. Okay. Jeez,
don't talk
Sox.
About the Red Sox on this station.
Sorry. We could talk about the Red Sox.
$3,000 is a small number. That's a low number.
Oh, yeah, it's going to go up. I mean, usually those things we saw with the 56
It's a one of a kind.
It was like $4,000 or $5,000, and then the last hour.
Oh, yeah.
David, what was the 50? It's
eBay,
tip it?
I learned that.
56.
Tip it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, I don't know.
I mean, it's tip it, yeah.
Give me that microphone back.
I think it's stupid. It's going to say 160.
I kind of
It's stupid.
That
no one's going to know what it
I don't
means.
Understand why you can't get a hyphen in there.
Buy a hyphen. I don't think they allow
Can
vanity.
Can you buy a vowel?
They don't allow vanity plates.
Not on vanity plates.
For what?
Yes, community relations. I said not on vanity plates.
You can't have vanity plates on these vanity plates.
And I think that's why it's not getting a lot of money. I think it's stupid. It's
people might be holding out for 190.
It might be, yeah.
As I said earlier,
well,
181
I can only
will
imagine,
not be a hot one.
You know, the Patriots have been auctioning off the three-digit things, and usually the bidding starts at 100 or 200. But I can only imagine when they get to number 12.
Can you get BB? Can you do letters?
I don't think so. No.
I would do BB. I'd sell that one. That'd be a good one.
I don't.
Whatever
think so.
Many Super Bowls he wins, when he, you know, let's say he wins 6 Super Bowls and he retires, you know, BB6,
BB4,
BB6SB,
BB3.
I'm going BB4. Josh McDaniels, February 7th, will be announced as the head coach of the New England Patriots.
You really do get these things stuck in your head, and you can't.
And
you
I
can't
just
get
run
past
with
them.
And as I said, 16-0 worked. I'm rolling it out there again. Felger's been made a career out of just saying stupid stuff. And people
when is Josh McDaniels taking over?
February 7th
of
this year, as the head coach of the New England Patriots.
He thinks that's why.
Are you serious?
He thinks that's why he didn't interview.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
You know. I think he's in line to be the head coach.
The next time you take this microphone away from me, I'm going to shove it up your ass.
Yeah, take Eric's. He hasn't used it in a half hour.
Felge keeps swinging over Tom's microphone, and Tom's not happy.
I got to say, I take a pounding.
Glenn in Calgary says, from here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, I have to ask, what exactly is wrong with Rhode Island? Here in the West, we have this image of Rhode Island being a very picturesque spot.
It
no?
is. It is.
There's parts of
nope.
it
the size
are.
Of a picture.
First of all, what's the emailer's name?
It's tiny.
Glenn.
Glenn, don't
can
listen.
Drive through
you should know by
minutes.
Now that you should never listen to anything that comes out of Andy Hart's
Wait
mouth.
A minute. I was born in Rhode Island, so I have the right to say that parts of it are like the armpit of New England.
Every state has parts of it that are in
Yeah, but when the state is tiny and parts of it are the armpit, it means a large portion of it is armpit.
I have to admit that ever since Buddy Cianci cleaned it up, but before that, Providence was a you-know-what.
Providence is now the armpit is sitting right here.
Providence is now West Welker. It's a nice little city.
The problem
city.
With Providence is,
it is.
They don't know
it is.
Whether they're New Englanders or New Yorkers. They're all confused.
Because they don't have an identity.
They're terrible drivers because the state's so small, they don't get enough practice.
Wait a minute. You're from Massachusetts. You're talking about bad drivers?
I was just thinking that.
What?
You're from Massachusetts. The worst drivers are in this state.
I was born in Providence. I have a right to say that.
Yeah, but Fred, the worst drivers ever rose are from
Massachusetts. I was in New Jersey for 3 months. How much Fred takes advantage of that theory?
Let me tell you something. Massachusetts drivers are not bad drivers. It's the idiots that come in that don't know what they're doing.
No, you know what it
is.
No, you know what it is. It's the stupid systems that you have here. Like when
the roads are telling.
Yeah, the roads. Like there's no arrows.
95 turns into 128 and all that.
They don't have any arrows so you can turn. It's you grow up with that and you become that's what you're used to. Stupid.
Yeah. That's right. It's the roads.
But yeah. I ask this, Mass what has Rhode Island ever brought to the world?
Much better than Rhode Island drivers.
Besides coffee milk.
You know.
Coffee
milk. Oh, they have Dell's Frozen Lemonade. I got to give them that.
I got to give them that, says Fred. I used to have one of those every day at training camp at Smithfield.
So a drink and a slushy. Way
it's
to go, Rhode Island.
It's a beautiful state.
Did I ever tell you my Jim Fossil story about Dell's Frozen Lemonade?
Yeah.
Oh, I did? Okay.
I think Tom just said he didn't want to hear it.
I'll guarantee Tom never heard that story.
I've never heard it.
Bitch.
Where's our damn food?
We have great beaches, great restaurants.
Great beaches?
Yes, they do.
There's a lot more coastline in Massachusetts with very nice beaches.
Let me tell you something, Sonny Boy. There are better restaurants in the Providence area than in Boston.
Oh, they have mansions in Newport that are nothing like they have in Mass.
No, there's nice mansions.
I would say mansions.
Put it on there.
I wouldn't think that the restaurants are any better.
They certainly
are. But the area of Rhode Island that's really nice is what, like 10 square miles or something like that?
I mean,
downtown Providence, like you said, 20 years ago it was a dump. Now it's
all they had
like
to do
said,
was
nice
get a mobster
city.
And
right. Newport.
And when Socket isn't exactly, you know, that
we had
great
a huge
place.
Mobster.
Yeah,
and
once the
walk
got
yeah.
mayor,
departed.
They made it. Oh well, nice. That was just one scene.
No, they have great restaurants.
Newport is nice. I'll give you Newport.
Yeah,
Newport is immense.
Well, also,
Massachusetts doesn't have anything that compares.
Falcon now asks, "Can I have the mic?"
Newport's been overrun.
I would have too if I was Falcon.
Newport's been overrun by college kids. It's not as nice as it used to be. But if you go to the other areas, the wine areas of
Little Compton.
Little Compton,
Smith.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Middletown.
Beautiful area, yeah.
Do you mind if I interrupt this conversation?
Go ahead.
Yes, we do.
Because I want to ask Casale something. How is Jacksonville a one-point favorite now?
I got Pittsburgh at 3. I can't believe it. 3 points at home. It moved up to 2.5 yesterday. I have no idea.
Why is Jacksonville favorite, you mean? Flavor of the month. Everybody thinks they're the better team.
Willie
Parker's out.
The money started Jacksonville 1. Now the money's all going to Jacksonville. My guess is that the big-time gamblers are waiting, and then right before game time it's going to go back down because the big-time gamblers don't bet on Monday what they're going to bet on Saturday. They bet it Saturday 10 minutes before the game starts. So I don't think that game's going to be close, to be honest with you. I think that Pittsburgh's going to win by 10 points.
Really?
See, yeah.
I just think that Jacksonville matches up well with them this year, and they're going to kill them.
Okay. Yeah. And then the Patriots will kill them.
Sandeep in Herndon, Virginia. Don't worry about looking for NFL Game of the Week on the Ion. We were talking about that earlier. That douchebaggy station has 20 hours of paid programming interrupted by a few Drew Carey show reruns. Holy crap. I heard about the NFL Game of the Week show on the station from a friend. The only way I'm sitting through all that crap one more time searching for the NFL Game of the Week is if the infomercials have topless models. Their website isn't any help either. They don't want you to know when the game of the week is on. It's a guessing game. So I guess they
believe,
do have it.
I can't believe Ion has the NFL game of the week.
They I can't believe Ion exists. I've never heard of it.
That's where I used to watch the Wonder Years, but they got rid of it. Now they have.
So it's on my cable.
They have Who's the Boss now.
Comcast has Ion.
Yes.
Evan Hsu, he backs it up. He says for some reason they bought the rights. It's really weird because they aren't a sports station. TiVo found it for me. They don't repeat the show, and I haven't ever seen that version of NFL Network or otherwise. So he offers to send the DVD of it. Please do.
Yes, please do. And lunch.
Well, now, come on now.
Somebody promised lunch, and it hasn't arrived yet, and I'm a little annoyed.
Bradley Hughes wants to know why Carson Palmer is worried about playing in January. It's a good question.
I'd say that. It's funny. It's a good line.
And Jarek in Toronto says that Laurinaitis would be insane to gamble and not enter the draft. A guaranteed top 8 pick and the closest thing out there to Patrick Willis, potentially even smarter and better. Did you know also that the Trojans 3-pack
is
being recalled?
Why is he better?
Why is he smarter? Because he's white and went to Ohio State and not black and went to Mississippi?
I don't know.
That's the only reason you would say he's smarter.
Well,
seriously, because from everything we've heard, Patrick Willis is as smart as a whip.
Okay,
right.
You call
and him. I don't even know why you say better. Patrick Willis was like the prototypical inside linebacker, and he's shown that he can do it. Laurinaitis is still just a prospect.
Tom, how much of the Rose Bowl did you watch this year?
Unfortunately, all of it.
What did you think of Ray Maluga?
Oh, he had one of those games where he had the sacks and the interceptions, so he stood out.
Trouble is, I don't really know that that's his pro game.
No,
Those things, that's not what I'm asking him to do if he comes here.
He also says, did you know also that the Trojans 3-pack is being recalled? Easy, Eric, I mean the football players. I don't know what that means either.
Cushing, so-and-so and so-and-so are coming back. What's that all about? I mean, I don't know who. Eric doesn't use condoms. That's how he got AIDS.
Stripper says he's going out next week with a girl from Pawtucket. There's a limerick in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you got the paw socks. You got that going for you.
Well, yeah, they're okay.
You're a minor league,
state town.
With a minor league team.
Got all the minor league teams. P. Bruins, Paw Sox.
Rhode Island's doing pretty good this year.
Had the Rhode Island Gulls for a while.
Well, Massachusetts has a lot of minor league teams.
Remember that,
too.
Fred?
Back in the day, they had the Rhode Island Reds.
Yeah, the hockey team.
They have a lot of major league teams, too, though.
Right.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com
really
is the email address.
Making fun of your state.
I was say, who knew?
I'm okay.
We make fun of him for being gay all the time. That doesn't do anything. We took a couple of shots at Rhode Island. He doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
No, I'm fine. Yesterday I was a little upset, but, you know, it was that time of the month. You know how these things are with me.
Oh.
I know from experience.
I like when Mini Gary laughs in the other room.
And you can hear it through the glass wall.
Josh, talking about that. Jared Lorenzen penalty. Didn't they initially call the penalty on 31, which I thought was our guy? Then they changed it to Toomer.
it would make more sense that they initially screwed up 13 and 31.
You might be right.
I remember saying, what the hell, when they initially called it on Merriweather.
Mm-hmm. So I just didn't think it was a penalty.
Well,
it was Mike Pereira on NFL Network telling everybody to stay calm, like the guy in Animal House, stay calm, all is well.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it was officiated properly by NFL rules, and I'm sure that Mike Pereira would be there to tell us the refs did a really good job on this play. Potentially confusing play, but they handled it just right.
Let's see. Who's next here? Pat from Minnesota. I was hoping to get your thoughts on a couple comments Randy made in his last post-game interview. I've been a lifelong Pats fan that has lived my last 20 years in Minnesota, so I watched the Randy phenomenon firsthand for the years he was here. I always appreciated his tremendous ability on the field, then laughed at the Vikings fan every time he spoke to the media or ran over parking meter people with pot in his car that belonged to someone else. When he came to our team, I was excited to see what he would do with Brady, but feared what would happen if he ever talked to the media. I have been wonderfully pleased with his interviews and behavior until after the Giants game. He made some positive statements, but laced in these two things. He wanted to shut up the press and the critics. And also he said, we are now supposed to tune in each week for the new Randy touchdown dance.
He said that?
Yeah, the Tootsie Roll. He called it the Tootsie Roll.
Oh,
really annoying.
He's coming out of his shell,
baby. It's like,
baby,
what are you doing, Randy? Come on.
I like it.
Keep it together another month, kid.
He's back.
But this is the other thing, too, we were talking about. Well, now they definitely have to sign him because we'd eat it on the field. I don't know. Like you said, Andy, now he's starting to become Randy Moss again, and he's had this unbelievable season.
Right.
So now it's like, what can you do?
And let's be honest, from a Patriots perspective, if he's showing the cracks in the perfect Randy Moss, chances are he's not going to have 23 touchdowns and 1,500 yards next year, so he's going to be less of a receiver and more of a problem.
We got to quiet down because Fred's got a good one.
Vinny or Dave writes in. He says, I know this is a day late.
Vinny or Dave.
Well, they look the same. No,
if you look at the email.
Okay.
So now you're going to give out his email address. VinnyT@AOL.com.
Dave says, I know this is a day late, but I'm listening to yesterday's podcast, and Andy said you can't ski from your couch. Actually, there is a definition of couch skiing from the Urban Dictionary, which I cannot repeat right here. But
does it involve a woman between two men?
No, it's a man between two men.
Oh, Eric's been couch skiing all week long.
No, it is a woman between two men, yes. And she's doing to something to
eat. Yeah, I've heard the similar thing about, like, driving in pickup trucks.
So you knew about that. Why did you know about that?
I didn't know it was skiing.
You call it something else?
It was you, Lori, and who? You should have heard him on the roster report, Fred. Now they're just flirting on the air. And you know what I was thinking, Fred? The one huge, huge piece of evidence that Andy has against him is he makes fun of absolutely – I was thinking about this the other day – makes fun of absolutely everybody. Anytime Lori comes around, it's all right, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the giveaway right there.
You did join Dick for a little while.
<It's good. laughs>
I do have a thing I could defend Andy with, but I won't do it on the air.
There's a reason
that he doesn't make fun of Lori.
Brian from Aspen again. Tom's wonderful life. You lay around your ass all weekend watching football games. You beg for food on the radio every day like some deadlocked panhandler. You brag about screwing married women and drinking yourself blind. You hang out in locker rooms with buff men and become jealous of their bodies. And you call out the skiers of the world? Don't they have any mirrors in Foxborough? There you go. Wow.
I didn't say skiers. I said ski bums like my sister who just goes around doing stupid crap so she can ski all day. Get a life. I'm sorry. The world revolves around money. You know, I didn't make the rules, but stop living off people and get a freaking job. Everyone has to do it.
Wow.
Tom is like the voice of reason
here.
Like,
Mr.
Fall in line with society,
not
Tom
just
Casale?
The voice of reason.
Tom,
of
how many
maturity.
Colleges did you go to?
I tried. That's my point. I tried for 30 years not to work. It doesn't work out. It's not going to happen for you. Get a job now.
Fred, we're making a lot of progress with these guys, though. Tom was talking about TiVoing the presidential debate on Saturday.
Well, I was going to watch it, but then I remembered the football game.
Yeah, but he's going to TiVo it and watch it later.
That's
He's read two books, or he's going on two books this year. Is that right?
It's more than you've read.
No, I've read a chapter.
No,
he got through two chapters.
Of Reagan. Highlighting the word the.
Going on a diet. He's making good progress.
That's good. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Tuesday. And after another Patriots week off, I guess. I don't know. All right, we'll see you then.